Blog Talk Radio.
Television is a goddamn amusement park. Television is a circus, a carnival, a traveling troupe of acrobats, storytellers, dancers, singers, jugglers, sideshow freaks, lion tamers, and football players. We're in the boredom-killing business. So if you want the truth, go to God. Go to your gurus. Go to yourselves. Because that's the only place you're ever going to find any real truth. So turn off your television sets. Turn them off now. Turn them off right now. Turn them off and leave them off. Turn them off right in the middle of a sentence I'm speaking to you now. Turn them off.
Come on.
All the humanity and all the...
Mary had a little lamb, it sleeps white as snow, and everywhere that Mary went, the lamb was sure to go.
Turn on, tune in, and drop out.
Yeah, I'm super cool. Ah!
I never once said, na-da-da.
I think everyone wants to know where we came from and how the universe began.
You know what I'm saying?
I have sinned against you.
Hey, folks. Welcome back. It's Reese on the Radio live on blogtalkradio.com/ReeseOnTheRadio. It is February the 3rd, 2012. My mother's birthday is Monday. Let me say it again. My mother's birthday is Monday. It's very important that you remember that my mother's birthday is Monday, February 6th. Now, why would I begin the show by saying that my mother's birthday is Monday? I never talk about my mother. I never do. It's one of the rare things that anyone even knows about me, my relationship with my mother. Some people pretend to know. Some people even tell the district attorney's office about it. But very few people know the relationship between me and my mother. So I say, my mother's birthday is Monday. And that is February 6th, 1949. That is the date my mother was born. To Marie and Augusta. And I know my mother's birthday not because, you know, there's, you know, not because I'm like a weirdo who remembers everybody's birthday. Yes, I am. I do. I remember everyone's birthday. Three very significant people in my life have birthdays that land on 6, 9, and 12. Is that weird? 6, 9, and 12. And the irony of that is how they are associated politically. Well, one is it, but one of the birthdays is not. But until I find out who that is, because I want to find out whose birthday lands on the 9th. But my mother is February 6th. My first wife, well, my only wife, is February 9th. And my best friend that I've known since the sixth grade, you know him, you love him, Kool-Aid Man, James Montgomery, is on the 12th. Now, breaking that down, Ronald Reagan's birthday is on February 6th. And Abraham Lincoln's birthday is on February 12th. And there's no cultural significance or presidential significance with my ex-wife, because of course she is my ex. So the only people who have lasted the test of time happen to share birthdays with two of my favorite presidents of all time. And that is, of course, the father of the Republican Party, and the father of true conservatism, Ronald Reagan. The irony there is uncanny, that my mother and my best friend since the sixth grade, my very best friend, you know him, you love him, James Montgomery, the Kool-Aid Man. My mother's birthday, by the way, her name is Marjorie. Marjorie's birthday is February 6th, and that is the same birthday as Ronald Reagan, the father of conservatism in my eyes, and a lot of others. I call myself a Reagan conservative. So indeed, he is the father of Reagan conservatism. And again, Kool-Aid man, James Montgomery, his birthday, February 12th, same day as Abraham Lincoln, the father of the Republican Party. So there's some irony there. So again, I repeat, my mother's birthday is Monday. So you get what it is that I'm saying when I say that. Because her birthday is not just relevant to me, but it's relevant, period. I don't want to have to go into Ronald Reagan, but yes, it's who I call affectionately my grandfather's birthday, Ronald Reagan. I call him Grandpa or Pop-Pop, as I like to call my grandfather, Pop-Pop. That's what Ronald Reagan is and will always be to me. So I just want to make sure that's known. So Monday, I will be celebrating the birthday of my mother, and Pop-Pop, be prepared, because I will be doing that on Monday. Again, it's Reese on the Radio. The number is 347-308-8701. A lot of things happening in the news this weekend. It's funny how the news built up this weekend to a bunch of different things that I found not only crucial, but I also found them entertaining. Barack Obama got some good news today. The unemployment rate went down to 8.3% from 8.5%. Now, many people may say that's great news for him, but again, you know that I am never ever giving this man a walk in a park. It will never ever be that way on my watch. This is the same man who passed an $804 billion stimulus package in February of 2009, a month into his presidency, promising that if we pass this bill, that unemployment would not reach above 8%. In fact, he predicted it would go only to 6%. It's seen 10% and higher, and it took him 3 years for it to finally reach where we are now at 8.3%. What they are not telling you with those numbers is very, very simple. A record 1.2 million people have fallen out of the labor force in 1 month. That means that there are people who have decided, I'm not looking for a job anymore. And remember, in order for you to be counted in unemployment, that means that you have to be receiving unemployment benefits. But if you are no longer looking for work, you are no longer being counted as an unemployed. Does that make sense? If you're 1.2 million people who have fallen out of the labor force, that means you are not looking for a job, you are not seeking unemployment benefits, you are not in the unemployment line, you are not seeing a counselor or whoever it is that you need to see at the unemployment office, because I've never been there, that's right. I don't care how many times I'm off out of a job, you'll never see me in an unemployment office. Even when I don't have work, you'll never see me there. I'm out there actively looking for a job. But those people out there who have stopped looking for work, that is 1.2 million people. They are not part of the data that's in there. So if you're not a part of the data, that means the number goes down. So the real unemployment rate is at 10 to 11%. But again, that's just numbers. It doesn't make any sense. So let me break down what the numbers are. A month ago, people were joking and said that for Barack Obama to get unemployment rate to a negative by election time, all he has to do is to crush the labor force participation rate by 55%. And it looks like the good folks at the BLS heard us. It appears that the people not in the labor force exploded to an unprecedented record of 1.2 million. No, that's not a typo. 1.2 million people dropped out of the labor force in 1 month. So as the labor force increased from 153.9 million to 154.4 million, the non-institutional population increased by 242.3 million, meaning those not in the labor force surged from 86.7 million to 87.9 million, which means that the civilian labor force tumbled into a fresh 30-year low of 63.7%, as the BLS is seriously planning to eliminate nearly half the available labor pool from the unemployment circulation. As for the quality of jobs, as withholding taxes roll over year, it can only mean that the U.S. is replacing high-paying fire jobs with low-paying construction and manufacturing. So much for the improvement. The chart that I have here that I'm looking at is that it means nothing. The end result is that they're bloviating about numbers, but when you actually check the data, it turns out that 1.2 million people no longer looking for work helps the number. So it's a false premise. Sad but true. And that's what it is that Barack Obama is going to have to force himself to run on. And those people who are not informed, who are ignorant to the facts, are going to support President Obama. And, you know, that's fine. Do what it is you got to do. Do what it is you got to do. He'll be fine, though, because he's doing a great job. Now, again, I didn't want to harp on him because I'm not going to. It's not important. There are bigger stories happening in the news, but I wanted to give him his congratulations on his numbers. Congratulations, Barack Obama. Congratulations. The rate is down to 8.3%, a number that you did not predict 3 years ago. You said, in fact, and I quote, it wouldn't go above 8%. In fact, you predicted it at 6. 8.3 means that you failed. That's it, by your own margins. But you know what Reese on the Radio is all about. We talk about racism. That's what we're here for. We're here to talk about racism. Hey, Attorney General Eric Holder said we do not have open and frank discussions about race. So it's my job to do it. You got race baiters like Al Sharpton and Jesse Jackson. I figured that I'd join the fray in opposition that we talk about race. Here's my question, folks. Is it racist when the perpetrators are black and the victims are white and the perpetrators are screaming racially charged epithets at the white people? Here's the story. Three juveniles accused of assaulting a cab driver and his passenger in Center City, this is near Philadelphia, while shouting racial slurs, will not be charged with a hate crime. The teens, who are black, were not charged with the hate crime because there was no evidence that the assault had been motivated by race of the victims, who are white. The district attorney, whose name is Tasha Jamerson, listen to me closely. The prosecutor's name is Tasha Jamerson. By the way, she's a DA spokesperson. Just shouting racial epithets during the commission of a crime doesn't rise to the level of ethnic intimidation. They just didn't have that in this case, she said. If they had somebody who, two blocks before, heard them saying, "We're going to beat somebody up because they're white, brown, or purple," it might be different. However, the three teens, whom are 17 and one is 15, have all been hit with additional counts of aggravated assault since the passenger in the cab, Mr. Goldman, Brian Goldman, came forward Monday. About 8:30 p.m. on Saturday, Goldman was in a cab that was stopped at a red light at 15th and Chestnut Street when he and his 53-year-old cab driver, Goldman was the cab passenger, I apologize, 53-year-old cab driver were assaulted at random. Goldman escaped. The cabbie, whom police have not identified, was able to flag down officers and nab the attackers. Goldman said that he haven't heard any of the attackers make racial comments, but police said that the cabbie heard them. Now, the reason why I'm bringing this up is this. There was a young man named Danny. And his last name escapes me, but I promise you I will remember his last name. His beating of a gay man made national news. In fact, it was all on those horrendous video shows, you know, like heinous crimes videotaped or outrageous crimes on camera, you know, the ones that show up on Spike TV or the Learning Channel. And I was locked up with this kid. He slept about four beds away from me. And he beat up a young man. In fact, the man that he beat up was a guy by the name, his last name was Bryce. And I'm going to remember his name too, but apparently the gentleman's last name was Bryce. Now, he was a homosexual. Or is a homosexual. Now, Danny is serving 12 years in prison behind a hate crime. The reason why is because Mr. Bryce claims that Danny beat him and called him racial epithets. That the motivation of the beating that was caught on videotape that ended up on all of these reality shows was motivated by his sexual orientation. Now, I never saw the video, but I talked to Danny and I read his paperwork in jail. Reading his paperwork, this is what it is that I read. That he and a friend walked over to Mr. Bryce, asked him a question. Mr. Bryce answered the question either incorrectly or abruptly, which ended up in a beating. Now, that would be enough to say, hey, that's just Danny's statement. And Danny can say whatever it is he wants to cover his own behind. But when Danny had finally talked to his attorney, who was also Lawrence Taylor's attorney in that recent sex case that he had, same lawyer. Danny's lawyer, who ended up getting this plea bargain where Danny did 12 years, Danny got an advance impact statement from Mr. Bryce. Now, an impact statement, for those of you who don't know, is before sentencing, the person who is the victim or the victim's family comes up and talks to the judge, and they make an impact statement to influence the punishment for the perpetrator or for the convicted felon. Mr. Bryce's impact statement was given to Danny in advance, which read this, which I will paraphrase. Danny walked up to me in the middle of the night, put his arm around me, and asked me about some graffiti that was written on a wall near the neighborhood. Danny asked me if I had written the graffiti on the wall. I wasn't nervous because I've known Danny for years. I've known him since he was a child. So when Danny asked me about this graffiti on the wall, I told him I didn't know about it, but Danny refused to believe me. All of a sudden, I was then sucker punched from the other assailant, and then they began to kick me, blah, 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 blah. Now, Danny did 12 years for a hate crime because, according to Mr. Bryce, who said publicly in the news that he was unconscious, did not hear what they said, he was charged with a hate crime. Danny was charged with a hate crime because Mr. Bryce is homosexual, saying that they beat him up because he was gay. But Bryce's impact statement clearly said that Danny has known him for years, and Danny was asking him about graffiti, and his answer was incorrect or not to the liking of Danny, and Danny and his friend ended up beating him up behind graffiti, not behind his sexual orientation. But the Speaker of the House in New York City, who is also a lesbian, and Mayor Bloomberg, took the bull by the horns and took advantage of a situation where a gay person was assaulted and made it a hate crime to make an example out of Danny. So, the victims of hate crimes must be minorities. If you're gay, you're a minority. If somebody beats you up, that means if you and I get into a fight with somebody who's gay, that's right, ladies and gentlemen, if you get into a fight with somebody who's gay and you get the upper hand, you will be facing a hate crime. If you get into a fight with somebody who is Asian, somebody who is Latino, somebody who is Indian, and you are of what they consider the scale, the upper scale, on the totem pole of race, you will be charged with a hate crime. That's because, according to public record, society gets to dole out who is on the totem pole, who's higher on the totem pole. If you're white, you're on the top of the list. If you're black, You're right there. You're almost under there. You're Latino. You're under the Latinos. If you're Asians, you're under there. No, Indians. Are Indians above Asians? I don't know. More Indians are becoming professionals, and not many Asians. They're kind of secluded to themselves. We have to push the Indians up, and we don't know who's... You see my point? So the higher you are on the totem pole, you have a lesser chance of being charged with a hate, or you have a higher chance of being charged with a hate crime, which is what this is. Does this make sense? Let's bring our crew. JC, I'm sorry that I'm rambling for so long, but do you understand where I'm coming from here?
I understand fully, and clearly it was a hate crime, and he should have been charged as such.
Yeah, of course. If it's simple enough for one person to say, hey, he was kicking me and he called me the F word, if you're homosexual, and he called you the F word, then you're saying that what he did was out of malice and it had everything to do with my sexual orientation, so he could be charged with a sex crime. That's what the law should be, according to them. Right? But because they were white, now, and the spokesperson saying, if they were two blocks away going, we're going to kick somebody's behind because they're white, that's never the case in the cases where they do charge for hate crimes. That's never the case. So, I mean, I think because they're black and because the person is white, I'm sure the white person is saying to himself going, man, if this was me, it wouldn't have even mattered that he was black. If he was just being a jerk to me and we got into a fight, all we have to do is say, hey, he called me the N-word. And it'd be over. Oh, it's a hate crime. Oh, you beat him up just because he's black. It's like, no, I beat him up because he was being a jerk. I mean, it's sad, but it's incredibly true that I think that what's happening in our country today is it's statistically wrong. You're putting people on some sort of status quo. If you're white and you're on the top of the list, then anybody who does anything to you based on your whiteness can never be deemed as a hate crime. It never can be. It's sort of like saying, hey, you're white. They're supposed to hate you. You've got everything. I mean, isn't that essentially what they're saying?
Pretty much.
So what is the race? Here's my question. Can a Mexican racial profile an African American? I mean, can he racially be insensitive to an African American?
Absolutely.
I'll tell you why.
Why, because they're both minorities?
Nope.
Well, actually, now that I think about it, and growing up, being in the diverse slums of Connecticut.
Right.
I do recall getting into fights myself with guys of Puerto Rican descent, and I've been called the N-word in the middle of that fight.
Yeah, but sure you were. But see, you tapped on exactly where I was about to go.
And in turn, I lit him up with everything I had.
Yeah, but see, you know what it is? The African American culture has allowed Latinos to use the N-word often. So Latinos are not looked in any way like
Hold on. Don't mean to cut you off.
Please tell me.
I was lit up with I've been called everything from the N word to black monkey.
Okay.
I've been told to go back to Africa.
Sure.
And this is by the same Spanish guy.
Sure.
And the same token, I'm like, wow, this is odd coming from someone who found a million and one ways to cook bananas. You know? You'd be calling me a black monkey.
But see, the bottom line is, see, I saw this happen in Staten Island, and this story shocked me. This happened in Staten Island. It was roughly about 2010, maybe late. I'm almost certain it was around 2010. But it stunned me. It stunned me to my core. In Staten Island, they had put these ESU units, the emergency service units, people are familiar with them. They had put them all around Staten Island because they said that there was a rash of bias crimes in the community. One particular fight that they profiled was between this 17-year-old black male and a 16-year-old Mexican, Guatemalan, I'm almost certain the kid was Mexican, in Staten Island. Now, all of the major newscasters in the New York area, like some of the, you know, the big brass, you have your A-team reporters who go out there to handle it because they know it's getting a lot of press and their press conferences and Christine Quinn, that's her name, the Speaker of the House in New York City. She's a lesbian, Christine Quinn. She's out there, she's making public statements, so the press is out there covering her. So they sent out their A-team, their senior reporter, and they did. They sent out Marvell Scott, they sent out all of these major reporters out there to cover the story. And one of the local reporters went out there, and the senior reporter went out there and interviewed the young 16-year-old kid who had been alleged racially attacked. And the story that they told was that the young man was a part of a community center. He was a counselor. He had been there for a while. He's promoting nonviolence. He's trying to teach the kids how to behave better and how to conflict resolution. He's a pillar in the community. And he was a young 17-year-old black young man who attacked him. The police had arrested him and put him in jail. 2 weeks later, they end up releasing the 17-year-old black male out of jail. Why?
Really?
Yes, here's why. Now, what I said, for 2 weeks they had been covering this story in Staten Island. Police presence was out there with ESU trucks, you know, like the big giant mobile trucks. You know, like
right.
So it was literally like a moving precinct. Okay? It's a moving deputy house. They had all this out there. Because of this attack by a 17-year-old boy, they said that he was robbed, they took his iPod, and he called in some sort of Mexican. Whatever it was, racially moment, the kid was charged with a hate crime, the 17-year-old black boy. 2 weeks later, they ended up releasing him. After 2 weeks of coverage on this case, the 17-year-old boy ended up being released. The news media only covered the story with a snippet of news. It couldn't have been 20 seconds. It turns out, the reason why the 17-year-old boy got into a fight with the Mexican kid was because the 17-year-old boy sold the Mexican a dime bag of weed, and the Mexican kid tried to sell it back. He wanted his money back, and the black kid refused to give it back, so they ended up getting into a fight, and he ended up saying that he was racially assaulted.
Really?
And the 17-year-old kid, all charges dropped. They couldn't even charge him on the drug charges. And this was a kid that the news was rushing to because he was part of a community center. He was teaching kids conflict resolution. But the only reason why they were doing it, because there had been other stories of Mexicans being abused, and there was a narrative. There was an agenda. They were jumping on the bandwagon. Yes, we got another Mexican assaulted. Oh, and this time from a black person. Yes. When the hell did a black guy and a Mexican get into a fight and it's called a hate crime? Both of them are minorities.
No, you're right. You're absolutely right. Happens all the time in the hood.
Yeah, but this is a classic case of the only thing that's telling you, I've never once. See, the only time I ever see anyone talking about a hate crime, it's white to black, white to Latino. It's never ever black to anybody else. It's never black to white. Blacks cannot, if a group of Mexicans beat up a black kid, if a group of Puerto Rican dudes beat up a black kid, they can't call it a hate crime. They can't. How can you? If I were to say today, that I got beat up by a bunch of Puerto Ricans and they called me, you know what the police would say? Well, that's what all of you hip-hoppers call it. Fat Joe uses the word nigga all day.
All day, every day.
He uses it all day, every day in every one of his songs. I thought that was cool between y'all.
I'm going to tell you
something.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's just the bottom line. It's scary, but that's the state of our union. So they're not going to charge these young black men for beating up white people because that's not a hate crime. You know what that's called, folks? That's called revenge. No, I apologize. Revenge is a poor word. That's a sad word. What's a better word, JC? What did those boys get? Reparations? Is that what they got?
Reparations?
Yeah, they got reparations. We'll be back. Many, many more stories to get into. It's Reese on the Radio.
An Olympics hit by scandal and deficits. He rescued them. He turned around dozens of companies and became a business legend. A state losing jobs with huge deficits. Governor Mitt Romney turned it around, cutting spending instead of raising taxes. At every step, he's met extraordinary challenges. Mitt Romney, the energy and experience to turn around Washington.
I'm Mitt Romney, and I approve this message.
Hey guys, I'm Jordan Sparks.
I'm Chase Crawford.
Hey, what's up? It's Usher.
Hi, I'm Rachel Bilson.
I'm Hayden Christensen.
I'm Peyton Manning.
Hey, we're Fall Out Boy.
I'm Dude Archuleta.
I'm Corbin Blue.
I'm Kristen Bell.
And we're the Jonas Brothers.
And I promise you, none of these people listen to my show. But here's some people who do.
Hey, Reese.
Hi,
how
you doing?
I don't think you're a buffoon.
Thank you, dear. George, you're on with Reese.
Hi there, Reese.
Hello, George.
Please let me do the talking today.
George, you're going to be brief.
I respect what you said because you know something, you're being honest.
Hey, I'm glad that you're bringing up what's most important, and that is the issues and where people stand and what they have for experience.
It's Reese on the Radio, weekdays at 7 p.m. right here on blogtalkradio.com.
Simple question. Which candidate gives us the best chance of defeating Barack Obama? The answer, Rick Santorum. Rick Santorum is a full-spectrum conservative. Rock solid on value issues like life, marriage, and the right to own a gun, Santorum is also a favorite of the Tea Party for his efforts fighting corruption and taxpayer abuse in Washington. And Rick Santorum led the fight to overhaul welfare, ending abuse and helping millions go from welfare to work. But that's just the start. Rick Santorum has more foreign policy credentials than any of the candidates. And Rick Santorum's Made in the USA jobs plan will make America an economic superpower again. Rick Santorum, a trusted conservative who not only shares our values, but also gives us the best chance to take back America. Finally, a candidate we can all unite behind. Paid for by Rick Santorum for president.
This is Rick Santorum, candidate for president, and I approve this message.
There's Dr. Oz, there's Dr. Phil, there's Dr. Drew, there's Dr. Joy Brown. It seems like everybody's got an opinion, but I'm going to leave it to the real professionals. Call up at 347-308-8701 to give me your take. It's my problem, you deal with it. Right here on Therapy Thursdays on Reese on Radio, on blogtalkradio.com, 7 to 10 p.m. weeknights on blogtalkradio.com.
Proven conservative leadership. Newt Gingrich. In uncertain times, we need a leader whose commitment to conservative values has been tested. Newt stood with Ronald Reagan. Newt stood up to Bill Clinton. And Newt was there for conservative values. But most importantly, Newt has always believed in the greatness of America, that America's best days are ahead. The choice. Newt Gingrich, the proven conservative leader. Winning our future is responsible for the content of this message.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Reese on the Radio, and you know you can get Reese on the Radio anytime you want by logging on to ReeseOnTheRadio.com. That's right. ResonantRadio.com gives you all the latest news, all the latest stories that I find interesting. And you can also click on to www.ResonantRadio.com and listen to archives of my new show, which is on BlogTalkRadio.com. That's right. It's www.ResonantRadio.com. You can get all the latest news, all the latest events, and anything else happening in Reese's world. It's Reese on the Radio, and I'm back right here on BlogTalkRadio.com.
He defends our freedom, and his record shows it. Ron Paul. Answering our country's call, Ron Paul became a flight surgeon in the Air Force. As a doctor, Ron Paul delivered over 4,000 babies and is a leading defender of life in Congress. Ron Paul never voted to raise taxes, never voted for an unbalanced budget, never voted to restrict gun rights or raise congressional pay. Protecting our God-given freedom, Ron Paul for president.
I'm Ron Paul, and I approve this message.
Come on, players, stop hating. Stop hating. Stop participating. Stop participating, star. Come on, twinkle, twinkle, baby. Twinkle, twinkle.
Welcome back, folks. It's Reese on the Radio live here on blogtalkradio.com/Reese on the Radio. 36 minutes after the hour, right here on February 3rd, 2012. It's Black History Month. And we're going to be doing a series of little tidbits. Anytime I find something interesting on Black History Month, we are going to do it here. We're going to play it every week. We will count down the days. We are 3 days in to Black History Month. What are you doing for Black History Month? I bet nothing. Zero. Zilch. Watch a little BET, TV One. That's what most of you do. I will be doing nothing. And I'm going to flat out tell you I'm doing nothing. You will get nothing. You will get nothing from me for Black History Month. Not a thing. You will not get a gift. You will not get a holy do. You will not get a holla, holla, holla. You will get nothing. Black History Month is a joke, especially in the African American community. The only time you guys want some sense of Black history is when somebody calls you the N word, somebody calls you a nappy headed hoe, racist. That's the only time you guys are screaming Black history. Oh, no, the history of Black people is important. They didn't call us a nappy-headed hoe. Stop the presses. So you're not going to get anything from me this year. Other than vitriol. You're going to get what you always get. You're going to get fun and laughter, which is what it is that I do. Hey, let me ask you guys a question. You ever played tag? Tag. You know, you run around, you know, and as a kid, and you tag somebody, and then they have to run around and tag somebody else. And, you know, you do that all day. And then there's another game that's called freeze tag. And, you know, you run around and you tag somebody, and they have to stand still, and they can't go anywhere. And then you run around until you catch everybody, and you freeze, you tag them, and they have to freeze. And I remember all those games. What the hell is rape tag, folks? Anybody ever heard of it? Rape tag.
I got my hand up, sir.
Oh, you've heard of this. Well, let me tell the story, please. Let me tell the story. Now that we know that someone's even heard of it.
And you know what? From someone that has played it, but...
Good. You can definitely explain what it is that I'm about to read so that I can understand what sickness this is. So let me read the story. This is good.
Okay,
I'm glad I have somebody who understands what this is, so I don't sound like I'm too much in the dark. We have a rape tag connoisseur, I guess, on the show who understands how this game is played.
Well, and now, first off, hold on, because I think we called it something else, but I'm going to listen to your description.
Okay.
And tell you if that's what it was that we were doing.
Okay, great enough. That's why I wanted to read the story. Anyway, the story comes out of Minnesota, and the headline reads, students caught playing rape tag in Minnesota. Parents in the New Ulm, Minnesota section have vented their frustration at a school district after an inappropriate playground game came to light. It's called rape tag. game encourages children to tag private parts of others. Washington Elementary School administrators said almost 24 fifth graders played the game. It's described as similar to freeze tag, except to unfreeze the person, players have to make sexually suggestive contact. When school officials learned of the game, they immediately put a stop to it, administrators said. They spoke with each other, to each classroom, and notified recess supervisors. Parents were upset because they said that this is where the communication stopped. So the administrators only went immediately to the kids. They did not talk to parents. They said it took nearly a month to notify the parents of the situation. However, school administrators said that they feel comfortable with the way that they handled things. They said that we have not seen students play the game since they put a stop to it. Well, at least not at school. So, again, fifth graders. Now, can I put a little context into this, if I may? Just so you get a grasp of where I'm going here. In 2004, my case is alleged to have happened. The witness in my case is 19 years old. Anybody care to do the math? It's 2012, 2004, 19 years old. Do the math. Do the math. Do the math. Do the math. Oh, that would make them a fifth grader, right? Fifth graders in Minnesota are playing a game called Rape Tag. Rape Tag. Let's go to our intrepid crew. Anybody make the connection there? Did I make a clear connection there? Did you guys get that?
Yes, you made a clear connection.
Okay, good enough. Just want to make sure. JC, is this the same game?
Yeah.
It is the same game. Please.
Uh-huh.
Did you play this when you were in the fifth grade? How many years ago was that, JC?
You want me to date myself?
Well, you're going to have to. Give me the general era.
My Facebook page
for them. How about this? Did Dougie Fresh have a hit out?
No.
Okay, that's all I care about. How about Run DMC? Did Run DMC have a record out?
No.
Dang. God. How about Curtis Blow? Did Curtis Blow have a record out?
Mm-hmm.
How about Afrika Bambaataa?
No.
Al Jarreau? Did Al Jarreau have a record out?
Fats Domino. Try Fats Domino. No. I would say the hot track at the time was probably something by Teddy Pendergrass.
Okay. All right, I got a good idea. That's fine.
So we're talking the late 70s.
Damn. You had to give the year. I wanted to make some guess. Okay, so fine. So, all right.
It was late 70s, and I was less than 10 years old.
Okay. Was the game...
And that game was actually a prelude to a second game.
Called Catch and Kiss?
What's that?
Was it Catch and Kiss?
Oh, no.
It was Catch and Do the Expletive.
Well, the first game was called Nasty Tag.
Nasty what?
Nasty Tag.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm. I guess to us that was like foreplay?
I would have used the word experimentation.
Oh, okay. Nasty Tag.
Okay.
And then when we got tired of playing Nasty Tag, we played Hide and Go Get.
Oh. Am I going to sound like a prude if I say I never played these games?
Yeah.
Of course I'm going to sound like a prude. See,
hide and go get was basically hide and seek.
Uh-huh.
And when you caught the individual, you dry humped.
I can understand kids are kids. I mean, I understand that they're experimental. But you're saying that this happens as young as in the fifth grade. I want to get Mary in on this because I'm dying to hear whether or not she's familiar with any of this stuff, in any of these particular games.
She's probably a victim. Go ahead, Mary.
Oh,
that's a victim. Oh, that is so wrong, JC. Now, we played something called RCK, which was Run, Catch, and Kiss. We weren't playing like, and I mean, you know, if you were kissing, who knows what you were doing beyond that, but...
Right, but Run, Catch, and Kiss...
We were doing that probably in the fourth and fifth grade.
Right, Run, Catch, and Kiss for a fifth grader is clearly, I mean, that's innocent enough. But for these kids to have referred to it as rape tag, rape...
Yeah, that's extreme.
Yeah, that's a little extreme. That's a little extreme.
See, I mean, again, I'm talking about catch and get. The euphemisms are beyond, you know, beyond the pale. We've used a lot of them. I used to know there was a, you know, as you said, the catch and get. We used to use the actual F word. I know the kids used when I was a kid. You know, run, catch, and kiss was very popular, as you stated, Mary. We've had all of those names before, but we've never, ever used the violent act of rape to suggest, to describe a kid's game.
No.
Or any kind of game that was, like, sexually... We played 7 Minutes in Heaven.
Right.
You know.
Oh, my God. Again, describing something sexual and associating it with heaven. Saying it was heavenly or peaceful or good. That's the whole idea. But for somebody to associate a violent act of rape, for a fifth grader to be using that term...
Well, you know what? In our case, Reese, when you had a bunch of 8-year-olds and on occasion a 12 or 13-year-old would join in, it probably was.
Well, I'll admit. Well, first of all, I'm not even suggesting that's what this should be called. But
no,
what I find awful about this is cool. The kids, in order for you to be unfrozen, as they put in the story, for you to have to touch somebody's private part in order to do that. I mean, there are kids who have been charged with sex crimes for less.
For less, yes. Kissing.
A kid was suspended from school because he kissed... A kindergartner was suspended from school because he kissed his classmate. Another boy was suspended from school because he called his teacher cute. And now you got kids running around touching each other in their private parts as a recess game.
They suspended a kid from school because he called his teacher cute?
You have to look it up, Mary. It was a story about 2 months ago.
Oh, I mean, what do you have to do? Walk around with big, huge rubber bands around you with your arms, you know, tightly squeezed against you and a muzzle on? What...
Mary, this was a huge story 2 months ago. Young man was literally suspended for calling his teacher cute. For calling the teacher cute.
They called that, what did they do, refer to it as sexual harassment?
That's exactly what they referred to it as.
Yeah, exactly. Yep.
They exactly referred to it as sexual harassment.
And how old was the kid?
He couldn't have been any more than 10.
Oh, my God. They're so ridiculous. This is so extreme. Oh, you suspend this kid for calling a teacher cute, but what happened to the kids that were playing playing rape tag?
Rape tag. That's what I'm saying.
What happened to those kids?
If we were following the same standard that this kid got suspended for calling a teacher cute, every one of the kids involved with rape tag should be doing 25 years.
Or at least in some juvie detention center.
Come on. What are you in for?
I was playing rape tag.
Rape tag?
What's that? I want to play.
What kind of game is that?
Well, what you got to do is if you're frozen by the person playing freeze tag, You gotta touch somebody's private parts in order to free them. Is this what you kids do with your time?
We played Red Light, Green Light, Go, but it had nothing to do with touching people's body parts.
No, we were nasty in the hood.
Yeah, see, again, I think that that's exactly what it came from. But then again, I understand. For a young kid to want to explore girls' bodies and he's coming into puberty more and more. Hey, look, if younger girls are realizing, are coming into, I don't want to use the word womanhood, but you know, okay, let's just be frank. I hate using this term because I'm such a punk and I can't say it. But nowadays, more and more girls are menstruating younger. I hate that word.
Menstruating?
Yes, they're menstruating younger. Some girls as young as 9 are experiencing that. Puberty is actually getting, it's going to the young children today. It used to be, when I was a kid, you were 13, 14. Nowadays, it's 11, 12, if not 10, 11. You know, they're going through that. So my point is that obviously if those changes are happening in girls, little boys are experiencing probably the same thing, coming into their own or probably becoming more aroused or sensitive to, you know, the female species and, you know, have a sensation that they want to be around girls, you know, like any other natural boy would. You know, a young man would. You know, he knows that he likes being around girls. He gets a funny feeling in his stomach. You know, he gets butterflies when he's around his favorite girlfriend. You know what I mean? But...
Oh, it's not a feeling in his stomach.
When I was a kid, I used to get butterflies in my stomach whenever I was around this girl named Pamela. I thought she was the best. I was only 7 years old. I'll never forget it. Every time I was around her, my stomach used to just... Oh, it was the best in the world.
Seven, I couldn't go to the blackboard.
I was in love with her. If she smiled at me, if she even acknowledged me, I felt like I was at the top of the world. And that's 7-year-old boy. You know, but I don't understand how it would turn into the game of rape tags in any case, because it just makes me sick.
And why did the school officials notify the parents until, like, what did you say, a month after the fact?
A month later, the parents are finally notified. Again, something like this that was involved in, if something involves with a sexual orientation, it's clearly something that, you know, the parents need to be notified of. Because I'll tell you why I believe that they didn't notify me. They weren't sure which parent is going to come forward and try to levy sexual charges against the school, if not a student.
Like, okay, so what did they end up doing to the students? I mean, what were the repercussions for these students playing this game?
Nothing. They told the kids to stop.
What?
Hey, kids, can you check it out? Can you stop a little bit? We'd appreciate it. Could you knock it off? That's exactly it. Anyway, when we come back,
unbelievable.
Yeah, absolutely. It's unbelievable.
They're controlling, they're trying to control the government is trying to control every aspect of our lives, but kids are allowed to run around on the playground in fifth grade and play freaking rape tags and don't get any repercussions.
100% true. I got a couple of minutes, so let me do this before we go to break. Anybody interested in finding out the top 10 most miserable cities to live in?
The what? The top 10 most miserable cities to live in?
Anybody want to know what they are?
I could probably tell you what they are. Enlighten me.
Okay, hold on. If anybody can guess one, just pick one city. It does not have to be a major city. Just pick any city that you can think of that would make the top 10 list. Mary, you go pick three. Mary, you pick three. JC, you pick three. And I will let you know whether or not any one of the ones you picked are on the list.
Detroit, Michigan. Birmingham, Alabama. And I'll say, I'm going to say Washington, D.C.
Okay. What about you, JC? Three miserable cities.
Three miserable cities.
And you can pick the same one if you want. If you want to pick any one of the cities that she picked, that's fine.
No, I don't think that they're major cities at all.
Okay.
If I had to think of, I'm going to pick New Haven, Connecticut as one of them.
Okay.
Yeah, definitely New Haven. And New Haven would include East Haven.
Okay.
That's all of the havens together.
Okay.
No matter what recently happened down there.
Okay.
Miserable cities. We're gonna pick Philadelphia, Pennsylvania.
Okay. What is that background? Jesus Christ! That is Mary. Oh, Mary, I promise I'll get you back on in a second.
Miami.
And you got to pick Miami.
Yep.
Okay. Here are the top 10 worst cities in the country. Most miserable. Number 10, Warren, Michigan. The housing market collapsed in the Warren metro area, which includes Troy, Farmington Hills. The median home price is down 50% over the last 3 years, the second biggest drop in U.S. after Detroit. Number 9, Rockford, Illinois. Property tax rates were fifth highest in the country in 2010. The median tax bill was $3.234. The home values of $136,000 for the rate of 2.4%. Number 8, Toledo, Ohio. The city is ensnared in a scandal within its Department of Neighborhoods that involved alleged bid rigging and stolen funds. The FBI and U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development are investigating the crimes. Toledo scores poorly when it comes to income and property taxes. Number 7, Fort Lauderdale, Florida. The spring break Mecca has been hit hard by the housing downturn. Median home prices in the metro division, that includes Pompano Beach and Deerfield Beach, are down 50% since 2006 to a recent $183,000. Number 6, Chicago, Illinois. Winter weather is perceived to be an issue. The Windy City is a cultural and financial center, but its residents must endure gridlock traffic, high property taxes, and brutal winters. Commute times to work average 31 minutes, eighth worst in the U.S. Number 5, Sacramento, California. Sacramento's low pro sports team is flirting to move to Anaheim unless the city delivers financing for a new arena. Sactown might not miss them. The team has lost 73% of its games since the start of the 2008-2009 season. Foreclosures in California's capital are among the highest in the last 10 highest in the last year. Number 4, West Palm Beach, Florida. South Florida has long been stained by corruption. One of the latest examples, Jose Rodriguez, the mayor of Boynton Beach, part of the West Palm Metropolitan Division, was suspended from his office last month by Governor Rick Scott after he was arrested for allegedly using his position to obstruct a child abuse probe involving his wife's estranged daughter. Ooh, that's even creepy.
Damn.
Number 3, Flint, Michigan. Flint raised 775 abandoned homes in the year ending October 2012 to try to change the city's landscape. That means they mowed the houses down. They, by the way, in Flint, Michigan, and Detroit altogether, they're planning on mowing down 10,000 square miles of homes. Flint, Michigan was number 3. Oh, and Mary, guess what? Detroit is number two. Detroit has closed schools and laid off police in an effort to avoid a bankruptcy filing this year. Home prices are down 54% in the past 3 years, the worst in the U.S. The median price was $38,000 a year in Detroit, Livonia, Dearborn, Metro Vision. That's the median price of a house.
Of how much?
$38,000.
Damn.
And the number one most miserable city in New York is...
New York.
Miami, Florida. You guessed it, JC.
Really?
The housing crisis has devastated Miami, with 47% of homeowners sitting on underwater mortgages. Foreclosures have been rampant, with 364,000 properties in the Miami area entering the foreclosure process since 2008, according to Realty Track. And there you have it, the top 10 worst and most miserable cities in the country. Thanks, Barack.
Television is a goddamn amusement park. Television is a circus, a carnival, a traveling troupe of acrobats, storytellers, dancers, singers, jugglers, sideshow freaks, lion tamers, and football players. We're in the boredom-killing business. So if you want the truth, go to God. Go to your gurus. Go to yourselves. Because that's the only place you're ever going to find any real truth. So turn off your television sets. Turn them off now. Turn them off right now. Turn them off and leave them off. Turn them off right in the middle of a sentence I'm speaking to you now. Turn them off.
Come on.
All the humanity and all the...
Mary had a little man who was quite a soul, and everywhere that Mary went, the man was sure to go.
Turn on, tune in, and drop out.
Yeah, I'm super cool.
I never once said, na-da-da.
I think everyone wants to know where we came from and how the universe began.
You know what I'm saying?
I have sinned against you.
Radio live on blogtalkradio.com/ReeseOnTheRadio. It is a pleasure always to be back. There's plenty of news, plenty of views. It is the weekend before the unofficial holiday of the United States, and that is the Super Bowl. So we're very, very excited about getting to that. The big game, New York Giants versus the New England Patriots. I'm sure a lot of people are excited about that game. Excuse me. I, on the other hand, I'm depressed. Because I know it's the last game of the season. I know I won't have any football. I mean, I can watch the NFL Network all day. So what? You know, it's not a real game. I don't get the sense of chance and, you know, watching a game like I would during the season. So I get very, very personally, saddened by that. So I don't want to go into that at all. Let me get into a very, very important topic. Speaking of the Super Bowl, this is a very, very important question. So I want to bring in my intrepid crew for this one, if you can, JC. Let me ask you guys a question. Now, if I were to say to you, I am not trying to be racial here, so I want to ask you an honest question. And please, answer honestly. This is not about race. This isn't about racism. Okay? I want you to answer this question for me. If I asked you, what does the average hot dog stand owner look like? How would you answer that question?
Short. Often fat.
I want you to use ethnicity here.
Oh, ethnicity?
Sure.
Wow. Wow, it's kind of hard to say, because they don't look black, they don't look white.
Okay, so what ethnicity? If you think about, hey, I'm going to a hot dog stand to go get a hot dog. I'm at Central Park. I'm at the Museum of Natural History. I'm at the Museum of Modern Art. I come outside, there's a guy outside with a hot dog stand. He's selling pretzels, he's selling soda, he's selling water. It's a hot day, I'm on Fifth Avenue. I'm on a hot day, I'm at the park, I'm at Faneuil Hall. And you go up to the guy, what does he look like? Give me a racial ethnicity.
What would you consider Greeks?
Okay, so you think Greeks. Okay, fine. All right, okay. Mary, how about you?
I would say of some type of Middle Eastern ethnicity.
Boom! That's all I needed. All I needed was one. That's all I needed was one. Middle Eastern, right? Maybe Indian, maybe Pakistani, right?
Yeah. What'd you say, Reese? You broke up.
I'm sorry. Maybe Indian, maybe Pakistani.
Indian, Pakistani,
right.
Yeah,
one of those, right? Okay.
Yeah.
Get ready for this story. I'm going to put you on hold for a second. Get ready for this story. Despite acknowledging that there are no credible specific threats to the safety of the 2012 Super Bowl in Indianapolis this Sunday, the TSA is training thousands of fast food sellers to spot terrorists under the First Observer program. The TSA, Homeland Security, said that over 8,000 stadium vendors, parking lot attendants, shuttle bus drivers, and other transportation professionals received the agency's First Observer training for detecting and assessing indicators and planning tactics of potential terrorist activities. As we have previously reported, many of the behaviors characterized as potential signs of terrorism by the TSA in its training procedures are mundane activities performed by a majority of people, including using video cameras, talking to police officers, wearing hoodies, driving vans, writing on a piece of paper, and using a cell phone recording application. I swear to God. The First Observer program has previously been used by the TSA on America's highways, most recently in Tennessee, for the purpose of bothering truck drivers and passengers by subjecting their cargoes in exhaustive searches. As former Congressman Bob Barr wrote back in November, drivers were recruited to become snitches under the auspices of seeing something, saying something. The Visual Intermodal Prevention and Response Program worked with the Tennessee Highway Patrol to oversee a process that has been criticized as an alarming sign of internal checkpoints becoming commonplace in America. With Congress having recently given the green light to increase their funding, VIPR, which is called the Visible Intermodal Prevention and Response Teams, who conducted over 9,300 unannounced checkpoints last year alone, will also be very much in evidence at the Super Bowl this weekend. So, folks, I'm just saying that a majority of hot dog vendors at the Super Bowl, whom a majority of them are Middle Eastern, will be asked by Homeland Security to look out for terrorists. I know I'm being racist here, but come on, folks. Don't you think that this is somewhat the wrong avenue to go down? Come on, somebody's got to be with me. Nobody? They're being silent on me.
Well, I mean, if I was a terrorist, a Middle Eastern terrorist, the best way to do it would be at a hot dog cart, probably.
Hold on. What do you mean if I were a terrorist, a Middle Eastern terrorist? Is there another kind of terrorist that I'm missing here? I mean,
Yes.
Really?
Because there are homegrown terrorists that cross over and want to take the country down that are
really?
American.
Really? Name a crossover terrorist. Name a homegrown terrorist, with the exception of Timothy McVeigh.
I can't name one, but there
are. Oh, that's what I thought. Anyone else? JC, isn't this ridiculous? Hot dog vendors?
Wow.
Aren't those the people we're supposed to be watching?
Yeah.
Yeah,
you want to think?
Yeah, I would think so. I would think the hot dog vendor. I'm sorry, Mahmoud. I'm sure you love America, but I'm going to have to check inside the hot dog water. Okay, I'm sorry.
I'd be more concerned about what the hot dogs are floating in.
That's
weapon of mass destruction.
I'm sorry.
Dirty dishwater dogs.
Mahmoud, listen, no offense. Nobody sells Jolt Cola. We're going to have to look inside the cart. What are you doing with New Coke? You don't belong here. There's something suspicious about it. What are you doing with Clear Pepsi? We thought we got rid of that. We're going to have to search the cart. I'm sorry. I don't know why you're wearing that members-only jacket, Mahmoud Ahmadinejad, but we're going to have to check the entire carriage of this hot dog cart. Why would Homeland Security enlist people that were supposed to be searching? I'm sorry. They're the people who are trying to attack us. They're the most susceptible to terrorist activity. And you know it's true. We don't want to say it, but who do you think that Muslims are going to try to recruit? Huh? The Greeks? Who do you think they're going to try to recruit? The Puerto Ricans? The blacks? Who are they going to try to recruit? They're going to try to recruit some of their own. Where are you from? Pakistan. Let me talk to you for a minute. That's who they're trying to recruit. One of their own.
Who they need to watch out for. Are those behind the wheels of those yellow kamikazes driving around the city?
That's right. Absolutely.
Because they're in and out of buildings all the time.
Look, it's not to be racially motivated here, but the bottom line is, look, I'm sorry. Truth of the matter is that this is the Super Bowl. You want to get people, you know, recruiting hot dog stand members. Come on. How's a hot dog vendor going to be able to spot a terrorist? This guy doesn't have the proper training. They just don't. Yes, we tell people if you see something, say something and follow your instincts. But if we start training these people to do that, do you understand what it is that you're doing? You're scaring them. It's like a placebo effect. They see somebody who's not going to be in a hoodie in Indianapolis in February. Who's not? It's February. I'm wearing a hoodie. He looks suspicious.
It's not like they can put any of their own out there and give them hot dog hearts.
Well, if they're telling these hot dog stand people, Mahmoud or whatever you want to call them, you know, what the plan of action is, and, you know, if you see somebody, if they're giving them any insight on any inside information, and they are a terrorist, or they're connected to any terrorist. Hello? I mean, that doesn't even make any sense.
Yeah, but what about this? It's the Super Bowl, right? They're saying if you see anybody who looks suspicious walking around the Super Bowl, who are the only other suspicious people hanging outside of a stadium aside from terrorists? Who are the other people? Come on. They're the only criminals hanging outside.
Scalpers, pickpocketers.
Scalpers. That's right, JC. Scalpers. So if a guy's walking around in a hoodie and he's like, hey, I got 250. He's not doing that there because now he knows he'll get arrested. So what's he doing? He's probably got his hoodie on. He's walking around. He's whispering to people. Hey, my man.
I got 250. I got 250 yard line. Up in the mezzanine. You want these? All right, give me $2,000.
Now, a hot dog vendor sees that guy, and what is he thinking? Terrorist! That's exactly
it. they finally get to yell that out against someone else.
Look at me. I'm the one screaming terrorist. I can't believe it. Usually they're pointing at me when they say that. Terrorist! That's what I don't say. But see, this is, again, Janet Napolitano, who's the head of Homeland Security, a complete moron.
She's a whack job.
She is. She scares me all the time. I don't want hot dog vendors protecting the Super Bowl.
Well, it's not like they can put their own out there, put FBI agents out there, because they all look alike, tall, thin, white guys with black hair.
It doesn't matter that they put them out there. This is the biggest game of the year. We don't need, you know, amateurs out there. Come on, man. Come on.
Are they playing in a covered dome?
Yeah, of course. Not until they play in Giant Stadium, or MetLife Stadium, as it's called now, in 2014.
Really?
Yeah, 2014 they'll be playing at MetLife Stadium, the former Giants Stadium, or the new Meadowlands Arena.
Finally get a football game in the snow. That's what we're in the snow.
Remember, we're 2 days away from the game, and, you know, New York MetLife made a made a pretty big deal out of getting this getting the Super Bowl there, because New York is such a huge market. And the reason why I know they did it is because, one, there's never been one in New York. That's the most importantly. But the revenue, you've got the tri-state area. People from Connecticut, from New Jersey, and from New York City will be going to all of the events that will be happening. And the revenue for the NFL will be astronomical. They'll make more money than any other city has ever made for the Super Bowl. Any other city. That's the reason why I had to be, that's the reason why it had to be done. That's the reason why it had to be done. I'll never, ever agree with it, you know, being there, because I like it in a dome. It's got to be in a dome. It's got to be fair weather. No arguments. It's got to be there. Anyway, I just want to mention that. Other Super Bowl football news, I wanted to bring this up. Does anybody know that I used to live in Buffalo?
Yes.
You did know. Okay, Mary, did you know?
Yeah, you told me.
I used to live in Buffalo back in, the 1998 season of football. And the reason
remember
why
you told us that great, racist story about the kids. Wasn't that Buffalo?
Right, that's correct. Okay, so I lived there for about a year. So anyway, Tom Brady has pissed off the city of Buffalo in such a way, and it's such a dumb way, I have to tell this story. Because it was so funny to me. So he's going on and on talking about how when he used to play in the Midwest, and that's like Michigan, Chicago, wherever it was, it's not important where he played. Not that I remember. He's a sixth round draft pick. It doesn't matter. Anyway, so he was telling the story during media day about how his dad and his mother were so supportive of him being an NFL quarterback, and saying that how his father used to travel on a plane all the time to come out to see him at his games. And then he says, even when I had to play in Buffalo, my dad would come all the way up to Buffalo. And, you know, Buffalo's got some of the worst hotels in the country. And he just said it. Buffalo's got some of the worst hotels in the country, and my dad still came. So in essence, trying to say something great about his dad insulted an entire city's hotel business. So now, Tom Brady is the most hated athlete in the city of Buffalo. Should Tom Brady care, or should he apologize? Like, should he not care, or should he apologize? We're talking about the city of Buffalo. I want to get your feedback, because I don't want to tell you something about Buffalo.
I mean, I probably wouldn't care.
So you said forget it. Now, you do know that he has to go to Buffalo to play them twice a year. Like, they come once to his place, he goes once to their place. He does play them twice a year.
Well, I mean, I still wouldn't care, because he's not going to be staying at any of those horrible at any of those horrible places.
Well, he's in Buffalo.
And if he stayed in Buffalo previously, he'll probably have to stay somewhere right outside of Buffalo.
Yeah, he'll probably have to stay in Amherst. Maybe, not Seneca, but he'll have to stay in Amherst. If I were him, I'd stay in Amherst. Okay, so, JC,
Is it true, though? You lived in Buffalo. Do they have some of the worst hotels?
After I get JC's answer.
I don't think you should give a damn. Damn Canadians.
They're not Canadians. They are Canadians. They're just by the Canadian border.
They're southern Canadians.
Okay, so in New Year's 1998 going into 1999, I was at a Buffalo Holiday Inn. I have pictures of it. I had a bunch of my friends and my brother's friends that all stayed at the hotel with us. We all rented a hotel there. Now, the Holiday Inn was very, very typical. It was what I would consider like one of their staple hotels, right? And it was a duplex. So you had the spiral staircase and the whole nine yards. I will honestly say it was the best hotel in the entire city. The reason why people say that the hotels in Buffalo are horrible is simply this. Buffalo sucks. It's that simple. It is awful. In the winter, they have lake effect snow. It snows all the time, every day, all day. There's nothing good about this city. Nothing. The two best things that are happening.
But it didn't make the top 10 worst cities to live.
No. The reason why is because, of course, there's nothing there. So you can't rate anything because there's nothing there.
Or a couple of wing shacks.
Yeah, exactly. There are two things that are great about Buffalo. Two things. And that is eating and drinking. That's it. So
yeah.
If you go to Buffalo and you ask yourself why everybody is overweight and pregnant, because all they do is eat and have sex. That's all you can do in Buffalo. So, and if you go to Buffalo, it's literally, you're not going there to do business. There is no business. All the business is in Rochester. Buffalo is a place that you end up by accident or because your car broke down.
Or you're stopping to get gas.
You're stopping to get gas. Or you meet a cute girl who just happens to live there. Like I did back in 1997. That's the only reason why you end up in Buffalo. When a girl takes you out for an Italian dinner and you end up at an Olive Garden, you know that town sucks.
That's like Hartford.
No kidding.
That's a lot like Hartford.
I've seen Italian restaurants in Hartford. So, yes, Tom Brady is 100% right. Yes, Buffalo sucks. The hotels suck. The towns suck. It's a truck stop. That's what Buffalo is. It's a place that you stop at before you have to go to Niagara Falls. That's the only thing it's for. You pass Buffalo to get to Toronto or just across the border so you can get to Clinton Hill so you can see the Horseshoe Falls. Even if you go to the Niagara Falls on the New York side outside of Buffalo, when you look at the falls, guess what you're looking at? You're looking at the water as it's about to go down the fall. That's Buffalo. That's a perfect example of what Buffalo is. The water is about to go down a fall. But what's Niagara Falls all about, right? Watching the water cascade down. And guess where you have to go to see it? Canada. You can't see it on the New York side. Buffalo is so ill, it's so ridiculously placed that they place the water, they place the city by the waterfall where no one wants to see it. That's how ridiculous it is. It's a worthless place to be. And yes, I did move there and lived there for over a year. For the worst reason ever why you should move. And I know I'm going to get hell for this.
Coochie.
Yes. Never move for vagina. Please never do it. If you do it because you love the person and you care about them. And you think that they're a very, very important person in your life. And they could possibly, you know, enrich
your life.
Who you are, and you can enrich who it is that they are. That's the only reason we should do it. I didn't say that it shouldn't be good coochie.
Well, weapons of mass destruction. There have been wars fought over it.
Well, we just totally forgot a girl was in the room, didn't we?
Unbelievable.
Who, Mark?
Okay.
Mark?
But I can't say that I haven't picked up and moved places for some good myself.
In any case.
What were you about to do? You said some good what? You said muscles?
No, I said myself. I went. I just made a little noise. I didn't. I was like, okay, what kind of term? What am I going to use? I didn't want to be, you know.
I understand.
I didn't want to be vulgar. But it didn't. But you can't. You're right. You can't move for those reasons because that doesn't always work out.
You're absolutely right. Yeah.
Unless you meet them on Sims. Unless you meet them on Sims or what's that? Life.
Second Life.
Second Life. Yeah.
Hey, you know, when we come back, we're gonna take a break. When we come back, because I want to talk about something a little serious. I do want to ask you guys a quick question about something because this is baffling the hell out. I'm gonna ask you two different stories. I want to ask you guys when we come back, when we take a break. Here's my first question. When you come back, I want you to think about this. If you don't remember having sex with somebody, does it count? And second, whether or not we should go to war, whether or not we should really, really go to war with Israel in the event that they decide to strike Iran. And we'll decide. We'll talk about whether or not you guys think that should happen when we come back. The reason why I'm asking is about the first question is I'm almost certain that I did not have sex with somebody, and someone is suggesting that I did. They're saying that years ago I had sex with this person and I don't remember it. So if I don't remember it, it could have happened.
An Olympics hit by scandal and deficits. He rescued them. He turned around dozens of companies and became a business legend. A state losing jobs with huge deficits. Governor Mitt Romney turned it around, cutting spending instead of raising taxes. At every step, he's met extraordinary challenges. Mitt Romney, the energy and experience to turn around Washington.
I'm Mitt Romney, and I approve this message.
Hey guys, I'm Jordan Sparks.
I'm Chase Crawford.
Hey, what's up? It's Usher.
Hi, I'm Rachel Bilson.
I'm Hayden Christensen.
I'm Peyton Manning.
Hey, we're Fall Out Boy.
I'm Jared Archuleta.
I'm Corbin Bleu.
I'm Kristen Bell.
And we're the Jonas Brothers.
And I promise you, none of these people listen to my show. But here's some people who do.
Hey, Reese.
Hi, how you doing?
I don't think you're a buffoon.
Thank you, dear. George, you're on with Reese.
Hi there, Reese.
Hello, George.
Please let me do the talking today.
George, you're going to be brief.
I respect what you said because you know something, you're being honest.
Hey, I'm glad that you're bringing up what's most important, and that is the issues and where people stand and what they have for experience.
It's Reese on the Radio, weekdays at 7 p.m. right here on blogtalkradio.com.
Simple question. Which candidate gives us the best chance of defeating Barack Obama? The answer, Rick Santorum. Rick Santorum is a full-spectrum conservative, rock solid on value issues like life, marriage, and the right to own a gun. Santorum is also a favorite of the Tea Party for his efforts fighting corruption and taxpayer abuse in Washington. And Rick Santorum led the fight to overhaul welfare, ending abuse and helping millions go from welfare to work. But that's just the start. Rick Santorum has more foreign policy credentials than any of the candidates. And Rick Santorum's Made in the USA jobs plan will make America an economic superpower again. Rick Santorum, a trusted conservative who not only shares our values, but also gives us the best chance to take back America. Finally, a candidate we can all unite behind. Paid for by Rick Santorum for president.
This is Rick Santorum, candidate for president, and I approve this message.
There's Dr. Oz, there's Dr. Phil, there's Dr. Drew, there's Dr. Joy Brown. It seems like everybody's got an opinion, but I'm going to leave it to the real professionals. Call up at 347-308-8701 to give me your take. It's my problem, you deal with it. Right here on Therapy Thursdays on Reason Radio on blogtalkradio.com, 7 to 10 p.m. weeknights on blogtalkradio.com.
Proven conservative leadership. Newt Gingrich. In uncertain times, we need a leader whose commitment to conservative values has been tested. Newt stood with Ronald Reagan. Newt stood up to Bill Clinton. And Newt was there for conservative values. But most importantly, Newt has always believed in the greatness of America, that America's best days are ahead. The choice. Newt Gingrich, the proven conservative leader. Winning our future is responsible for the content of this message.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Reese on the Radio, and you know you can get Reese on the Radio anytime you want by logging on to ReeseOnTheRadio.com. That's right. ReeseOnTheRadio.com gives you all the latest news, all the latest stories that I find interesting, and you can also click on to www.ReeseOnTheRadio.com and listen to archives of my new show, which is on BlogTalkRadio.com. That's right. It's www.reeseontheradio.com. You can get all the latest news, all the latest events, and anything else happening in Reese's world. It's Reese on the Radio, and I'm back right here on blogtalkradio.com.
He defends our freedom, and his record shows it. Ron Paul. Answering our country's call, Ron Paul became a flight surgeon in the Air Force. As a doctor, Ron Paul delivered over 4,000 babies and is a leading defender of life. In Congress, Ron Paul never voted to raise taxes, never voted for an unbalanced budget, never voted to restrict gun rights or raise congressional pay. Protecting our God-given freedom. Ron Paul for president.
I'm Ron Paul, and I approve this message.
Come on, players, stop hating. Stop hating. Stop participating. Stop participating, star. Come on, twinkle, twinkle, baby. Twinkle, twinkle.
Hey, what's up, guys? We're back. It's Reese on the Radio on blogtalkradio.com/Reese on the Radio. So, by the way, number is 347-308-8701 if you want to listen into the show, and you can log on to ReeseOnTheRadio.com whenever you want, or send me something, you know, via email at ReeseOnTheRadio@yahoo.com. What happened to my response? Oh, there it is. Okay. Something happened to me this morning. And it's strange because, you know, there's a lot of things that have been going on with, like, sort of like reflecting on my personal life and getting in touch with people from the past and rehooking up and, you know, I've been self-identifying. And it's a very, very strange part of my life happening right now. And I think what that has to do with it, I don't want to suggest that I'm going through a midlife crisis. Maybe that's true. But I'm sort of like rekindling relationships with people that I remember from the past. And we didn't stop talking because we weren't friends, or we didn't stop talking because we were enemies, or because we had a falling out. I don't believe that I've had many fallings out with people who were friends of mine. I've kind of kept good relationships with them, which is why when I hook up with them again, they have fond memories of me. Hey, Reese, how you doing? I'm like, hey, how you doing? You know, that's the reason why, because I believe that I've kept a good relationship with those people. So in connecting back with Mary and, you know, and of course, reconnecting with JC after my, you know, my stint in 2.5 years and reconnecting with these people who have always had my best interest in heart and always been loving and caring of me. And And reconnecting with those, I've reconnected with other people. So there was, so there was this girl in the midst of reconnecting named DW. And I couldn't for the life of me remember DW. I didn't know much about her. Couldn't for the life, and there were things like there were little triplets. You've seen those movies where the guy loses his memory and then he gets a little inkling and those little flashes. He's like, and he stops. You know, he's like, he freaks out because he's getting those little flashes of memory and stuff because he has something dramatic happen to him. I had those little flashes of the person. So, you know, I went to the person's Facebook page. I looked at the picture. The person's at least 22 years older. So I don't even remember the person's face. It's like, no, it doesn't ring a bell. So certain things are coming at me, and I'm just like, oh, I remember this place, and you remember that place. And I'm going, okay, yeah, I remember that. I remember this place. Yes, I remember that avenue. Okay, so it's all happening to me. Anyway, so I don't want to be unkind. I want to say, hey, you know, I'm reconnecting with people that I remember, you know, from, you know, when I was 19, 20 years old, and I want to reconnect and say, hey. So I send an email or a Facebook message to that person, and I say, hey, do you remember me? Mary says that I should, but I'm having trouble remembering exactly. Now, I sent that Facebook email on December 30th, 2011. It's last year. Here we are, February 3rd. This morning, I get this email or this message. And I'm going to read it to you in its entirety. From DW, sorry for the late response. Haven't been on Facebook for a while, but it took me a minute and a couple of, nah, that's not him. But yes, my dear friend, I do remember you. I suppose I shouldn't be too insulted. I guess it would be better to be forgotten rather than be remembered for something bad, right? I'm pretty sure Mary tried to jog your memory. Bottom line, yeah, we did it. Anyway, I'm glad to see you're doing well. You certainly look good. Do you still live in the area? Now, someone writes, I know Mary's trying to jog your memory. Bottom line, yeah, we did it. We did what? This sounds like someone's telling me that I had sex with them. I don't remember this. And as far as I'm concerned, it didn't count. I know that you and I, DW, never, ever engaged in any sexual liaison. I don't remember it. I would have remembered. And please don't use things like, was I drunk? Was I in it? No, it didn't happen. It didn't happen. I'm almost certain that she's confusing me with somebody else. I'll put anybody money on it. I'll put any amount of money on it. She's confusing me with somebody else. Because I know there are, I know everyone, because there hasn't been a lot. I have not been some skeezy bastard running around getting laid every chance I got. This is not me. It's not my style. I'm a very, very quietest kept kind of lover kind of guy. I don't want my business in the street. I don't have sex with the shades open. You know, if it's broad daylight, the shades must be closed. You know, I'm a lights off kind of guy. And if it's daylight, I close my eyes. I'd be honest with you, I'm sorry. I'm a little shy. It's true. It's not prudish, but I'm just a little shy. So I know I'm not running around just, you know, dipping stick any place that I feel like it. It's not my style. It never has been. It's not how I get down. So, as I say, Mary and JC, it can't count, right?
You're breaking up, Reese.
I said it can't count because I don't remember it, right?
I mean, look, I know you both.
Yeah, no kidding.
And I mean, I don't know if it happened, but I mean, if you don't remember it, it's either one of two things. It didn't happen, or wasn't pleasurable enough for you to remember?
That's not true, because every time I've ever been with a woman, it's been pleasurable, at least for me. I can't be exactly certain that the girl had a blast.
Well, but the thing is that I don't understand is how, like you said, maybe she's mistaking you for someone else. Now, I know that DW clearly remembers every single person out of our crew from back in those days, and she remembers exactly who everyone is. She has a memory like I have a memory. I remembered a lot of things that you didn't remember. But I don't think that it's a thing of mistaken identity. Just maybe she thought that she did it with you and she didn't. I don't know.
But wait a minute. See, here's my thing. But Mary, fine, I'll take your word for it. But wait a minute. What in my message to her even references sex? I don't make one reference.
It didn't, and I don't understand why she referenced that. I don't understand why she would have just blatantly come out and said something like that. Like, and the fact that she used my name, like, oh, I'm sure that Mary tried to jog your memory. Like, did she think that I was saying something bad about her?
No. I don't think that at all. But I said, even in that reference, I said, Mary says I should. In essence, you were saying that I should remember her. And
Knowing DW for as long as I've known her, which has been, I've known her since I was probably about, I would say like 12.
Wow.
But I've known her for 25 years.
Mm-hmm.
So knowing her, she probably thought that, she probably did kind of take that personally because that's just the type of person that she is. Felt like, oh, I was saying something bad about her, or that's what we were speaking about. Like, that's maybe, you know, I was referencing sexual things.
But how would you get
your memory?
No, listen, Mary, I understand where you're coming from, but there's no way. This sentence, look how many words are in this sentence. I said, hey, do you remember me? Mary says I should, but I'm having trouble remembering exactly. How, that's the most vaguest entrance I could ever give someone on Facebook. It's not even...
I agree with you, Reese. I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm telling you we should get James Montgomery on the line.
Really?
Yes.
I'm telling you. Okay, I'm going to call him now. Let's get Montgomery.
Go ahead, James.
Let's get Kool-Aid Man on the line.
All right, before Montgomery comes on, quick question.
Go for it.
Mary, how long have you known this
what?
Woman? You say you know this woman since you were 12.
25 years.
Has she ever been really known as like a big liar? To you?
That's a good question.
That's
a really good question.
Okay, I mean, back in our teenage years, yes.
And she was.
So do you think she convinced herself that she had sex with me?
Maybe. I don't know. You know, I mean, I don't want to say anything bad because, I love DW, and, she's a dear friend to me, which I wish.
Oh, no,
I don't want to say anything bad about her. I know her ins and outs, and I know a lot of things about her. But, I mean, yeah. Okay, yeah, she's known to have lied about things. But I just don't even understand why she would lie all these, 22 years later or 20 years later. I don't even understand why she referenced that in the email. Like, why was that even a response? Why wasn't it just like, oh, yeah, hey, Reese, I remember you, of course. You know, we all used to hang out. We had a good time, whatever, you know. But obviously whatever she remembers, maybe she remembers it was something good and she's
telling you
look good. And are you still in the neighborhood? Maybe she wants to get some more.
That might be true too. Hold on, let's bring Kool-Aid Man in here. Kool-Aid Man, are you there, James? James? Oh, I know he answered his phone. Come on. Okay, maybe he didn't.
My next question was...
Go ahead, James.
Reese. Let's say it's 22 years ago.
Okay.
How heavy were you drinking?
Hot. See, very good. 22 years ago, I can honestly say I wasn't heavily drinking that.
Reese.
You wasn't?
No, I wasn't.
You wasn't.
Reese.
The heaviest I
Reese.
Was... Listen to me. Listen to me.
Reese.
Mary? Mary?
Don't make me call you by your government. You better stop that madness right
Hold
now.
On. Are you sitting up here telling me that I was drinking to the point where I was drinking to oblivion? First of all,
I don't think that you were drinking to the point where you were oblivious. You know what? I don't know because I don't know what we did a lot of drinking back then. We all did.
Oh no. I'm not disputing that. We probably did what was considered average teenage drinking, if not at excess.
No.
Gary, I said at excess. That's what I said. I said even at excess. But what I'm making my point is this. Here's one thing that everybody knows about me when I'm drunk. I can't perform.
Okay.
I can't.
But we're not going to talk about it.
What? No, I'm just saying. I can't. Because I'm too inebriated. So
okay.
It's one thing to be, if I'm so drunk that I don't remember, like I black out, that's one thing. But that obviously means that I'm so inebriated, I probably couldn't perform anyway. And I would remember her. It's funny because I can remember, you know, I can remember C and I can remember D, but I don't remember DW. I don't.
Well, the bottom line is DW remembers you.
And don't let her L.A. District Attorney Office Michael Jackson you. And I'm sure you know what I'm saying.
What's L.A. District Attorney Michael Jackson mean? What does that mean?
Remember the kid went in there and was able to describe Michael?
Oh, God.
God, I hope that doesn't happen. I certainly hope that doesn't happen.
If that happens,
you're
guilty.
You would be the only one that would know that description anyway. It's not like anybody, you know, unless you got, you know, C and D on the line. They
Hello?
In front of us.
Am
Hello?
I calling
Hello?
Number? I had James Montgomery on the line. Is this James?
No.
My apologies. Bye-bye.
Who the hell was that?
Was that somebody... Kelly?
No. I called the wrong number entirely.
She was like, Hello?
You
look ghetto.
Who you calling? No, he ain't here.
Hello, how you doing? This not James. This is Shakita. How you doing?
She's not happy.
Bonquifa.
I dialed the wrong number.
Bonquifa.
What'd you call her? Bone what?
Bonquifa.
That's horrible.
Have you seen that Bonquifa video on whatchamacallit? What was that
YouTube?
Comedy show that was on? Well, it's on YouTube, but it's from
Key and Peele.
What is that? It was kind of like in Living Color. What was it? What was it called?
Key and Peele.
No.
Mad TV.
Mad TV. Yeah. If you haven't seen that skit, you need to YouTube because it is hilarious.
Yeah. All right, so what do you think I should do? What should be my follow-up to calling back DW? What should be my follow-up?
Judging by looking at her, I mean, maybe this is a decent pick.
Did you see a picture of her already?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that. Excuse me.
Listen.
You're quite the sleuth.
We hooked up because I'm resourceful.
Yeah, you're quite the sleuth, man. You are. You're...
Okay, so what were you going to say, JC?
Unless this just happens to be her good side or her not-too-bad side.
Okay.
Run
for the hills?
I wouldn't say, I don't know.
No,
I'd have to see more sides.
No. You have to. Okay, let me make this abundantly clear. One, it's not that I'm trying to reconnect with her in that way. That in no way
right.
I have. But what makes me uncomfortable is that on the onset of me reintroducing myself into her life again, it's sort of like saying, "Hey, DW, it's Reed. I don't know why, but I'm not remembering you. Mary is telling me that I should, but I don't." And the first place that you go is, "Oh, I was wondering the same thing. Does it look like him? I'm not sure if it's him. Oh, it is him. Oh, by the way, we had sex." And I'm going, I didn't even go in that direction. So my question is how do I follow up to that? Because now I've got to defend. I feel like I have to defend my honor by going, well, Daniela, I can't believe I just said her name. I can't believe I said her name.
Oh, you are doing so well.
Oh, it's perfect. And I still said her name. I said, the first thing that ran through my mind was, I said, "Hey, DW." Maybe we'll edit that out. "Hey, DW." The first thing that ran through my mind was, "I think you have your signals crossed. That wasn't me." And I think the truth of the matter is that it wasn't me.
Well, you should ask her what you should do if you want to get to the bottom of this. You should ask her, you know, you could, you know, start by replying like, "Okay, hey, I was a little taken aback by what you said, but, you know, nice to see that you're doing well yourself, but I don't recollect doing anything sexual with you, so can you kind of jog my memory?"
I don't want to say that. Please, don't make me use the word sexual in a sentence.
Oh, why?
Because I almost feel like that. I'm almost embarrassed to even say it.
Okay, so you could say, "I don't remember doing it," because that's what she used.
I don't recall being there.
I don't remember being there. Now you're expecting me to insult her. Can you imagine what that would do to a woman who's probably very fragile? "He doesn't remember me." Come on. I don't want to do that for 20 years.
She's taking harder blows than that, Reef. I think she can handle that. No, I don't mean that in a
This conversation has gone very far right.
Oh, God. I get it.
My point was that when somebody says something like that to you and you've recorded, see, this is why this bothers me. And let me explain to you, because nobody should care, right? Like, why do I care? Let me explain to you why. Because my entire life, what I've always done is I've recorded every person I've ever been intimate with. I've recorded them to the letter. One, because, you know, diseases is a big thing to me. Second, it's because I'm not a smut. I'm not a slut. I'm not a whore. I'm not a philanderer. I don't do that, okay? I don't just, you know, like I said, I'm not dipping it everywhere. I'm very peculiar about that. So my point is that when somebody comes out of the woodwork, you've been sitting up here all your life, you're in your 40s, you know how many people you slept with, you kept the record of that, and then somebody comes to you and they throw a wrench in it and they go, "Yeah, we had sex too." And you go, "Oh my God, what do you mean? Because I'm positive the number was at 30, now you're telling me it's 31. And that bothers me.
But why does it bother you? I don't understand that. I mean...
Was that 30?
If you did, you did. If you didn't, you didn't.
Your number's at 30?
Yes, my number's at 30.
I'm sure you missed one or two.
I didn't miss any. I've never missed...
Did you hear what he said, JC? He's been keeping a record.
A record?
Who do you know that keeps a record? It's like keeping
books. Who does that?
I do that. Excuse me, why is it that I know so much about history? Why is it that I remember dates and times? Why is it that I remember that stuff? Because that's who I am. I'm meticulous
about it. You're a statistician.
A statistician. Yes, a statistician. Yes, that's how I am. A statistician. That's who I am. But I keep those kind of records. Who was the only person? You guys missed the opening of the show. Why is it that I'm the only person who can reference the relationship of my mother and James Montgomery with the president of the United, with two presidents of the United States? My mother's born on the same day as Ronald Reagan, and James is born on the same day as Abraham Lincoln. Ironically, two of my favorite presidents. Who remembers that?
Because you're weird like that. And I didn't miss that, but you were weird like that. I forget what they call.
James is on the live. Thank God James has shown up. 5 minutes into the top of the hour. Thank God. Kool-Aid Man is in the place. He's everybody's favorite. Everybody loves him. By the way, I gave you a great shout-out at the beginning of the show about your birthday coming up. It's like what? Sunday? No, Monday. Huh? It's a week from tomorrow. A week from Monday, I should say. Your birthday is coming up. And I wanted to say that the reason why, you know, one of the things that I love you, pardon me, let me give you your intro.
Yeah.
I wanted to make sure that I told
him. Yeah, I just caught that part.
Oh, you did? I said, yeah, your birthday is the same as Abraham Lincoln's. My mother is on the same day as Ronald Reagan, my two favorite people who will. And the irony here is that you and my mother are both liberals, and my two favorite presidents, both conservatives, both on the same day. Is that crazy or what? That kind of sucks. So James, let me get to this story that I just told. It's a personal thing because we didn't have Therapy Thursday yesterday. Something happened to me this morning. So let me should I wait until the next half hour to tell James about it?
If we have do that so that way we can go to break and then come back. James, do you have time?
Yeah.
To stay with us.
Okay. Because we're, of course, going to get into the Super Bowl, which is very, very important because it is Super Bowl Sunday, the unofficial holiday in the United States, and we're talking about at least 100 people watching that all over the world. So we've got to get into that. We've got to get everybody's bet on the game, or at least everybody's pick on the game. So we'll take a break for the next 4 minutes. We'll do the top of the hour, and when we come back, we'll ask James about somebody that we know who's a friend of mine, a friend of ours, who made this alarming revelation about our past, and we'll get James.
This alarming accusation.
accusation. Someone on Facebook accused me of something, James, that you are going to be astonished by, and maybe you can help me clear it up. When we get back,
it's hey, what's up, guys? It's Reese on the radio, and if you missed the show, you
think he's guilty.
Yeah.
Are we off the air?
No, we're going off the air right now. We're taking a break right now. It's Reese on the Radio on blogtalkradio.com/ReeseOnTheRadio.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Reese on the radio, and I know you've got an opinion, so give yours. The number is 347-308-8701. 347-308-8701, right here on Reese on the Radio.
Ooh, love hurts. Yes, love hurts. It can hurt emotionally, but more important, it can also hurt you physically. It can hurt you in a way which nobody who owns a hot tub and lives in California can afford to be unaware of. Yes, I'm talking about California hot tub rectal gonorrhea. This painful, incurable disease can make an enjoyable soak in a hot tub with family, friends, and dog into a literally unforgettable experience. If you catch California hot tub rectal gonorrhea, not only will you walk around feeling like you're about to pass a twisted sardine can lid, you'll also smell like a pile of burning tractor tires. So don't jump out of the frying pan and into the hot tub, because if you get California hot tub rectal gonorrhea, it'll really burn your ass.
This has been a public service message brought to you by the Citizens Against CHTRG Foundation. California Hot Tub Rectal Gonorrhea. We're not going to take it sitting down.
Hello, Lois. This is Mike. I'm the personnel director here at your husband's work.
Oh, hi. How are you?
I'm fine. And how are you?
Fine.
Lois, are you sitting down?
Yes.
Well, I have some bad news.
What do you mean, bad news? Bob's okay, isn't he?
Well, actually, that's why I called to talk to you. It's about Bob, and I know that he's been an employee here for a very long time, but I'm afraid we're going to have to let Bob go.
What do you mean? Wait, that's not very fair. He's been very loyal to you.
Look, I can understand you feeling that way.
Feeling that way? You don't understand. We just had a baby.
No, I understand. I understand that.
This is a very hard time to do this kind of a thing.
Yes, it is. But Bob has kind of forced our hand on this.
Why are you firing him?
We caught him doing his secretary on his office desk.
Oh, that son of a bitch!
Look, I know you're upset.
Upset is not the word. That stupid, rotten son of a bitch. I can't believe this.
He's on his way home right now, and he's going to need your support.
Support my I'm going to change the locks on the door. I'm throwing his outside on the front lawn. He can just have it all. I'm not even going to be here when he gets back. And now, I don't feel so bad about his brother.
Louis.
It's a joke. Your husband put us up. It's your birthday.
Happy birthday!
Television is a goddamn amusement park. Television is a circus, a carnival, a traveling troupe of acrobats, storytellers, dancers, singers, jugglers, sideshow freaks, lion tamers, and football players. We're in the boredom-killing business. So if you want the truth, go to God. Go to your gurus. Go to yourselves, because that's the only place you're ever going to find any real truth. So turn off your television sets. Turn them off now. Turn them off right now. Turn them off and leave them off. Turn them off right in the middle of a sentence I'm speaking to you now. Turn them off.
Come on.
All the humanity and all the...
Mary had a little lamb, it sleeps white as snow, and everywhere that Mary went, the lamb was sure to go.
Turn on, tune in, and drop out.
Yeah, I'm super cool.
I never once said, Nagada.
I think everyone wants to know where we came from and how the universe began.
You know what I'm saying?
I have sinned against you.
And hello, guys. We are back at Reese on the Radio, live on blogtalkradio.com/Reese on the Radio. And you can send us an email at reeseontheradio@yahoo.com or check out reeseontheradio.com whenever you like. And you can check it out this weekend because we will be off the air until we return on Monday to find out who it is who won the Super Bowl. Well, you'll know it already because we're always watching it. But we'll talk about the game and we'll break it down. We'll get the breakdown. We'll do the breakdown. Break it down. Do the breakdown. And I will be breaking it down as I break down. Because I know any team that I pick is going to lose. But you will finally get my pick tonight. We'll finally have my pick tonight. So when we were doing the break, I was asking a question about an email that I had gotten from an old friend that I didn't remember. And when I say that, I say I don't remember because there are things about the person that I remember, but I don't really remember the person. I don't. And then for somebody to levy an allegation of sorts, it really threw me for a loop. So that's the reason why I brought this up. So Mary and James, Kool-Aid Man, of course, are here along with JC. And JC is an impartial party because he doesn't know who the person is. So can I assume, Mary, have you informed James who the individual is we're talking about here?
The only thing that I informed him of was who it was. I have not said anything else to him.
You haven't given him anything else?
But you can use DW.
Okay, so fine. Anyway, so James, Mary told me about this individual and said, hey, do you remember her? And I said, I think I do. I'm not certain. Maybe I should. So in reconnecting with people from our past, I sent them a message through Facebook. And the message read exactly as it reads, hey, do you remember me? Mary says I should. But I'm having trouble remembering exactly.
Now, that, you're breaking up.
Badly.
I'm sorry. Anyway, it says, hey, do you remember?
That's even worse, Reese.
Reese, you went in ET mode.
Okay, how about now?
No.
Really?
No.
Okay, that's better.
Yeah, right there.
All right, fine. Okay, anyway. The email I sent to her was, hey, do you remember me? Mary says I should, but I'm having trouble remembering exactly. And I sent that email on December 30th, 2011. This morning, I got this email from DW. Sorry for the late response. I haven't been on Facebook for a while. But it took me a minute and a couple of, nah, that's not him. But yes, my dear friend, I do remember you. I suppose I shouldn't be too insulted. I guess it would be better to be forgotten rather than be remembered for something bad, right? I'm pretty sure Mary tried to jog your memory. Bottom line, yeah, we did it. Laugh out loud. Anyway, I'm glad to see you're doing well. You certainly look good. Do you still live in the area? Now, she openly says that we did it. James, I don't remember us doing it. You know that, is it? James, no, don't laugh. James, don't laugh. I don't.
Reed, it's hard not to. It's hard not to.
James, don't
okay,
laugh.
James. James, can you clear this up for us, please?
Please help me out. Did I have sex? Did I have sex with this girl 22 years ago?
Who? Oh, yes.
Don't say that, James. Say that.
Did I have sex with her 22 years ago?
The thing is, well, actually, I can. My first reaction to it was, and I hate to say it, but who didn't?
No, no, I knew you were going to say that. Don't say that, James. Don't say that.
Okay.
I don't remember this girl.
Well, Danielle was
popular.
Oh, sorry. Oops, DW. Oops.
Popular.
Okay, yeah.
Oh, my God.
It's a common name.
James, damn it. I did it once, now you did it. So I can't even blame you because I did it myself. Here's what I'm asking.
But he did it much clearer than you did.
Yeah, this is true. James,
okay,
this is what I'm asking you. I don't remember her in any sexual way. Plus, I don't remember her. Please jog my memory. Who is this girl?
Oh, Lord.
He can't remember her at all, Jamie. I don't understand how he can't remember her.
Yeah.
I mean, she was like an epicenter at, where we hung out at.
Yeah, she was a mainstay.
She was a mainstay with whom?
She was like furniture.
Oh,
she was always there.
Who was her running partner? Like, we know that TJ and you were running partners. We know that Jace and Derek were running partners. We know that Troy and Jace were running partners. We know that TJ and Jace were running partners. We know that me and Derek are running partners. We know that you and I are running partners. We know that. If I were to take the girls, I would say Cynthia and Ildi, they're running partners. Right? So Linda and Cynthia were running partners.
Linda was one.
Hold on. So who was DW a running partner with?
Linda, Ildi.
She was more of a running partner with Ildi than
she
was with Linda.
So she hung out.
Actually, she was more a running partner of Meredith McKenna.
Oh, my God.
The house.
You did it.
Oh, my God. I was hoping it wasn't her.
Stop it, you guys. Stop.
Oh, I remember her now.
You did it.
Oh, that's right. She was Meredith McKenna's friend.
Short, blonde.
Oh,
and, like,
yes.
Really clear blue eyes. I think
yes.
It was blue.
Yeah. Guilty. And the verdict is?
She had freckles. She had freckles everywhere, all over her. Like, yeah. Freckles on her face. They were on her arms.
I connect the dots, did we?
I do remember.
Actually, you know what? I would really, I don't want to say it on air.
This on the radio will return in a few moments.
I remember.
Are we off the air?
No, we're not off the air.
We're just handling some business in the background. But don't worry, Roots on the Radio will return in a moment.
So 23 years ago, we had a wardrobe malfunction.
Okay, come on, so brief. There's just no way.
I just can't believe I remember her now. No. Oh, damn it.
Yeah. I should have just mentioned the house.
So, wait a minute. So, Reese, is this number 31?
Now serving, number 31, Bueller.
Now serving number 31 at window A2.
I cannot believe that I forgot somebody. JC, this isn't right. It's just not right.
What do you mean you didn't? You did.
I was hoping it wasn't her. Because I thought I counted.
Oh, stop.
No, not in that way. No, I'm not being mean. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm just saying that I didn't think that it was... When you said that she... I said... The most important thing you would understand, I knew somebody would understand, is what I meant by running partners. See, I know who used to run with who, used to hang out with who. I know Diana used to run with, remember Diana, the girl I used to date for a little while? She used to run with Cindy. You know what I mean? So, you know, I know who everybody used to run with. So if I could remember who she ran with the most, and folks, when I use the word ran with and hanging out with, spent the most time with, who she would run with the most, I just have to clarify. And then I would figure it out. And then once she said Meredith McKenna, that was it. But it stuck out like a sore thumb. And that's when
I don't think she ran with Meredith. Meredith McKenna was like the McKenna house, Meredith McKenna, right?
Exactly. But she was a record.
I don't think that she hung with Meredith. I've known Danielle for a long time. And I don't remember her hanging with Meredith McKenna like that.
Sure she did. Mary. She was always in the house with her.
Mary?
Yes?
I just talked to the crew of throwing names out there.
That's right.
I don't care about throwing Meredith McKenna's name out there.
You just threw DW out there.
I did?
Yes.
Oh, man. I'm sorry, D.
Did you throw out DW's name as well?
Yes, you just did.
We all did.
I'm sorry, D. I'm sorry.
not in a bad way. Nobody's talking about DW in a bad way.
I don't know about you.
We're trying to remember who she is.
Yes.
I don't know about you, but I always will remember DW fondly. So, you know,
okay.
I mean, we had some really good times together, and there's nothing to be ashamed of.
I'm not ashamed. I'm just saying that this throws a wrench in everything for me personally, because I've been sitting up here saying that there were only 30, and now it's 31.
And who knows how many more that you don't remember?
No, don't do that. Don't do that. That's just breaking my heart. It's just so mean of you to say that.
That was a lie.
I don't know whether or not, I'm certain right now that the number will remain 31. It's never, ever going to.
That was a lie.
It's never going to change from 31.
That was a lie.
At least it's only 31. It's always going to be 31 now. At least I know it's 31.
Yeah.
So it's always going to be 31, so you're done? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I mean, come on. I don't want anybody else showing up.
That was a lie.
I don't want anybody else showing up.
So now you just have to recycle the 31.
And now I have to say 31. It's been 30 for... Do you know how long it's been 30?
Okay, is 31? What is this?
Just the amount of people that he's had sexual encounters with in his life, which I can't believe it's only 30 or 31, but okay.
Okay, yeah.
Ain't nothing wrong with sex relation between you two young people.
Come on, Queenie.
Relations is a beautiful thing.
That was a lie.
Look, my point is...
Oh, I feel so vulnerable.
My point is the reason why it's 31 is because I don't go just throwing it around all the time, okay?
And that's what you'd like people to believe. Far be it from me to disabuse you of that notion.
Oh, yeah.
You know what is so funny? The fact that he thinks that he is sitting around talking to people. I understand that maybe radio listeners don't know you, but you're sitting amongst three other
people
who know you very well.
Wait. Hold on. So you think that it's more than the number than I'm proclaiming? You think it's more than that? Really?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Oh, give me a break. Why would you?
That was a lie.
It's not more than that. It's 31. But I still have to. I still have to investigate the 31. You break them off.
I knew that by bringing you on, we were going to get to the bottom of this. Inspector Gadget, put him on it.
Go Gadget Jock. Anyways.
That's the first thing I told him when I heard this, and that's
Reese,
the first thing I told him
I'm
on the radio tonight. You've got to get James on the line.
I'm with you, dude, Reese. We're not going to claim that 31. That 31 is a lie.
That's right. The 31 is a lie until it's confirmed. Listen to me. I'm going to tell you right now. I'm going to be completely honest with you, okay? As far as I'm concerned, it never happened if I don't remember it, okay?
But obviously did remember it because when
I remember
James
her.
Comes to a memory,
I know,
you were like,
James.
Oh, man.
No. Reese.
Yes.
You said, yeah, it's now 31.
Well, I said it was 31 because I do remember some liaison to some degree.
Okay, so was it like a half of a sexual encounter? Like a 68 and I only one sexual encounter?
Reese, it doesn't count if you close your eyes.
Was it daylight and you had your eyes?
Okay. Let me put it to you this way. Here's the challenge. Okay?
Oh,
here's
Lord.
The challenge. All right. Check this out. Okay? Here's the challenge. Okay? I am going to give the ultimate challenge right now. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
I will do anything the winner does. Okay, what winner requests, whatever the winner requests, I will adhere. Okay? I want either two of you, James or Mary, to contact DW. Okay? And get the details of this encounter. Where it was, if it happened, whether or not it was once or twice.
I already know where it was. Or we're mostly... Well, I could pretty much tell where it was. I mean, we were all in one central place most of the time.
Meredith's house.
Are you saying that it happened? It did not happen at the house.
Oh.
But no, Reese said he never did anything at that house.
Never.
On the blackboard.
Oh, that's a lie.
Wait.
What did
I do with that house?
What did I do with that
house? Are we going for 32? Or should we say, who did he do with that house?
No, actually, Reese, this is gonna work out better for you. Okay? There was a reason they called you Trigger.
Okay, so I'm listening.
I don't remember that.
Yeah, he's right. That was my nickname for a little while.
Okay, well, maybe I'm glad I don't remember that.
who was the person who gave me the nickname?
I believe. Look, we've done been saying names all over the place, so whatever. Cynthia?
Who?
Cynthia.
Yes, that's exactly right. Yes, you did. You're absolutely right.
But the one of the 31.
That never happened at the house.
No.
Now, I will be honest with you. Was there ever a quote-unquote physical liaison that could have led to sex inside the house on Springfield? The answer is yes.
Ildi.
It wasn't Ildi.
That was at her house.
How about this? Think older.
The only older person around, I don't even want to think of.
Oh, my God. Please don't tell me. Please don't tell me. Don't say it ain't so, Reese.
Although there was a rumor.
I did not have sex.
Oh, Lord.
I did not have sex with this individual, but I will admit that I did fool around with them. That is the honest God truth.
The lunch lady.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
You did not.
Who knew?
Milf. Wow.
Milf.
Meredith's mom.
Oh.
Ding, 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 ding. Bingo.
Oh, God.
I am.
Wasn't she a redhead?
Yes, she was. It's time to take
a
break.
Was she a true redhead, Reese?
Yes, she was.
Oh, my God.
We're taking a break. We'll be back.
An Olympics hit by scandal and deficits. He rescued them. He turned around dozens of companies and became a business legend. A state losing jobs with huge deficits. Governor Mitt Romney turned it around, cutting spending instead of raising taxes. At every step, he's met extraordinary challenges. Mitt Romney, the energy and experience to turn around Washington.
I'm Mitt Romney, and I approve this message.
Hey guys, I'm Jordan Sparks.
I'm Chase Crawford.
Hey, what's up? It's Usher.
Hi, I'm Rachel Bilson.
I'm Hayden Christensen.
I'm Peyton Manning.
Hey, we're Fall Out Boy.
I'm Dan Archuleta.
I'm Corbin Bleu.
I'm Kristen Bell.
And we're the Jonas Brothers.
And I promise you, none of these people listen to my show. But here's some people who do.
Hey, Reese.
Hi, how you doing?
I don't think you're a buffoon.
Thank you, dear. George, you're on with Reese.
Hi there, Reese.
Hello, George.
Please let me do the talking today.
George, you're going to be brief.
I respect what you said because you know something, you're being honest.
Hey, I'm glad that you're bringing up what's most important, and that is the issues and where people stand and what they have for experience.
It's Reese on the Radio, weekdays at 7 p.m. right here on blogtalkradio.com.
Simple question. Which candidate gives us the best chance of defeating Barack Obama? The answer? Rick Santorum. Rick Santorum is a full-spectrum conservative. Rock solid on value issues like life, marriage, and the right to own a gun, Santorum is also a favorite of the Tea Party for his efforts fighting corruption and taxpayer abuse in Washington. And Rick Santorum led the fight to overhaul welfare, ending abuse and helping millions go from welfare to work. But that's just the start. Rick Santorum has more foreign policy credentials than any of the candidates. And Rick Santorum's Made in the USA jobs plan will make America an economic superpower again. Rick Santorum, a trusted conservative who not only shares our values, but also gives us the best chance to take back America. Finally, a candidate we can all unite behind. Paid for by Rick Santorum for president.
This is Rick Santorum, candidate for president, and I approve this message.
There's Dr. Oz, there's Dr. Phil, there's Dr. Drew, there's Dr. Joy Brown. It seems like everybody's got an opinion, but I'm going to leave it to the real professionals. Call up at 347-308-8701 to give me your take. It's my problem, you deal with it. Right here on Therapy Thursdays on Reason Radio on blogtalkradio.com, 7 to 10 p.m. weeknights on blogtalkradio.com.
Proven conservative leadership. Newt Gingrich. In uncertain times, we need a leader whose commitment to conservative values has been tested. Newt stood with Ronald Reagan. Newt stood up to Bill Clinton. And Newt was there for conservative values. But most importantly, Newt has always believed in the greatness of America, that America's best days are ahead. The choice. Newt Gingrich, the proven conservative leader. Winning our future is responsible for the content of this message.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Reese on the Radio, and you know you can get Reese on the Radio anytime you want by logging on to ReeseOnTheRadio.com. That's right. ReeseOnTheRadio.com gives you all the latest news, all the latest stories that I find interesting, and you can also click on to www.ReeseOnTheRadio.com and listen to archives of my new show, which is on BlogTalkRadio.com. That's right. It's www.reeseontheradio.com. You can get all the latest news, all the latest events, and anything else happening in Reese's world. It's Reese on the Radio, and I'm back right here on blogtalkradio.com.
He defends our freedom, and his record shows it. Ron Paul. Answering our country's call, Ron Paul became a flight surgeon in the Air Force. As a doctor, Ron Paul delivered over 4,000 babies and is a leading defender of life. In Congress, Ron Paul never voted to raise taxes, never voted for an unbalanced budget, never voted to restrict gun rights or raise congressional pay. Protecting our God-given freedom, Ron Paul for president.
I'm Ron Paul, and I approve this message.
Come on, players, stop hating. Stop hating. Stop participating. Stop participating, star. Come on, twinkle, twinkle, baby. Twinkle, twinkle.
Welcome back to Reese on the Radio, right here live on blogtalkradio.com. So the number is 31.
Move your mic.
Okay, how about now?
You're eating it out again.
Okay, I'm sorry about that. This is happening. I don't know why I got great precision on the microphone. I have all my internet stuff is up. Everything's good to go.
No good, boss. No good.
How about this? Is it any better? How about that?
You got to call the tech director.
Yeah, I got to do this. How about now?
There we go.
Better? Much better?
A lot better.
Okay, beautiful. Anyway, it's Reese on the Radio right here live on blogtalkradio.com/Reese on the Radio, 28 minutes after the hour. We have to make sure that we, of course, get into the NFL because the season is about to end. And, I'm about to be heartbroken. I'm not even playing it. I'm too depressed. I'm too saddened by it. And I wanted to make sure that at least we talked about it so that we got over it. And, you know. I mean, I know everybody's really, really excited about the Super Bowl because that's what everybody waits for. I mean, that's the last thing. That's what it's supposed to be about. I don't know whether or not baseball fans feel this way. I don't. The reason why is because when baseball is over, football has already begun. I don't care. But you see, baseball doesn't begin until April. And you can't really get into April because there are 162 games. So it's not like baseball is like the most exciting thing. It's like, so what? Your team wins 10 in a row. It's got 152 games to go after that. Your team could win 10 in a row, the openings after opening day, Next thing you know, he's in last place. So I can't care. In football, every week counts. Your team starts 0-1. You know that feeling. You get that frustration. Come on, James. Come on, James. You know what I'm talking about. Your team is 0-1 at the beginning of the season. You're already written them off, right?
Oh, well, not 0-1, but when you get to around 4 or 0-3. 5.
0-3.
Yeah, 0-3, 0-4. Yeah, right. The writing tends to be on the wall.
Hey, and that's right. And hold on. And look at the team that is now in the Super Bowl, the New York Giants. This is a team that lost 4 in a row. They were going on 7-7. They were 7-7. They were counted out if they didn't play that game against the Jets to finally turn it around. People were talking about firing Coughlin, the coach of the New York Giants. They were already talking about firing him, and the guy's sitting in his second Super Bowl. So, I mean, that's the reason why the tension is that two games are tense enough. Baseball, you just watch because you sit up there watching pitching and hitting and running and pitching and hitting and running and pitching and hitting. It's a different sport. I'm not saying that I don't enjoy baseball, but baseball doesn't really get into being the sport that you love until we start talking 120 games in. You know, playoff contention. It's 16 weeks for football, and it's a week-by-week game. So, you know, you can be 6 weeks into football, you know, and all of a sudden, what are you talking about with your team? You're talking about their prospects, whether or not they're going to win, they're going to win it all. Oh, we need a new quarterback. You know, it's inciting. You spend an entire week talking about football. And that's why when it's over, which is great that we're all excited about the Super Bowl, but when it's over,
there's a void.
Yeah, that depression sets in. Guys go through that post football depression, and I really go through it for 6 months. You know, I have to communicate with people and talk, and acknowledge that other people exist and be kind, and you know, acknowledge real people, which is what I don't have to do during football season. I don't have to care about you. Football, I have to just care about my team. Am I being insensitive here? That's just me.
No, you're just being Reese.
That's what it is that I care about. I care about football when football happens. I'm sorry, let's go through your talk. He's in the middle of a combo. The point is that I care about football, and I love football. Now, Mary, I'm not going to get your pick. The reason why is because that would be just stupid to ask you who you
got. But if you're not going to get my pick, can I just say something? Everybody knows what my pick already is. So I just want to let everyone know that I did receive, JC did live up to the end of his, the bet, the end of his bargain. The New York Giants beat the San Francisco 49ers, and I received my edible arrangement today at work. He sent it to me at work, and the card and the card that he, you know, of course he referenced Mary, why are you bugging? I hope, you know, the people at work were probably like, what is this? But the card obviously said that, you know, there'll be a next time, and that that my boys were going down this Sunday. Well, I got news for you. The Patriots are going down. The Giants are going to be with another ring, second ring in 5 years.
Okay. Now, James, unfortunately, you know we love you. We do not need your Super Bowl pick. We already know what it is. The only people
but the listeners might want to know.
They know he's a Giants fan. He's made that abundantly clear.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, any of our new listeners don't know that. So
okay,
James and I are picking the Giants.
Yeah, we know that.
All day, every day. Oh, hell yeah.
Okay, so, JC, do you care to venture who your pick is?
Well, considering that I'm from New England, and I factored in the fact that I hate, Robert Kraft.
Right, I understand that. And people in Connecticut, people in Connecticut have good reason.
It wasn't like to beat him over the head with a bottle of his own salad dressing.
Salad dressing, go ahead.
But I do like his macaroni and cheese. I'm going to go with the ladies of the New England Patriots.
Okay, so JC has picked the New England Patriots over the New York Giants.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I've been holding off on who it is that I was going to pick. Because I've been looking at the stats. I've been looking at who the underdog is. I've been looking at the defense. I've been looking at the offense. And I've decided there's only one way that I could say who it was that I was rooting for the Super Bowl. If you'll indulge me, I want you to understand my reasonings for making my pick.
Indulge, you likely have a choice.
No, you didn't. One. Okay. Eli.
So you're going with the Patriots as well.
I'm not picking anybody yet. I'm going to make my pick as I go on. So based on what it is that I say, I'm going to make my pick. So I'm going on based on the information that I'm gathering. I'm going to make my pick literally on the fly right now. Now, one. After watching Eli Manning and what it is that they had to endure with the San Francisco 49ers, which was a considerably tough defense, watching a special teams that was really, really effective against a person who had five concussions, and Eli Manning being sacked six times versus a defense with a defense like Pierre Paul, Justin Tuck, and OC Umanura, who I believe are tough competitors against an offensive line that could break down and not protect Brady. The most important factor of this game has been, according to the press, is this guy Gronkowski. But the people who they have not been paying attention to are guys like Wes Welker. They have not been paying attention to Danny Woodhead. And they've not been paying attention to Hernandez on the New England Patriots. When I look at the weapons that that Eli Manning has versus who Tom Brady has, I think it's only fair to say that who is going to win this game is who it is that can effectively stop the points. And the answer to that question will remain. The New England Patriots. The New England Patriots win the game by 10 points.
No.
I know you don't agree, but the New England Patriots win this game by 10 points.
Hold on for a second.
That is my final say. The New England Patriots win the Super Bowl by 10 points. I'm sure that I am, but I believe that the New England Patriots win this game by 10 points. Did they just cut off my mic?
No, nobody cut your mic off.
So I am now posting now on Facebook. I am putting my picks as the New England Patriots. The New England Patriots will win by 10 points. And I just think that's it. I think there's no other way to put it.
I think that considering the fact that your picks have not exactly lived up to your standards in the last few weeks, and the fact that the girl, the female of the show, has won over the two of you gentlemen, that you may want to reconsider that pick.
I think that this is the only time when you're going to be absolutely wrong. New England Patriots by 10 points. I think
if you have a Super Bowl gene or a football gene.
I'm telling you, I get it right every time, dude. I always get it right every time. I've never been off. Listen to me. When I picked
That's what you said the last 3 weeks.
I never get it wrong. not the Super Bowl. I don't get the Super Bowl wrong. When it comes to points, I don't get the Super Bowl wrong. And let me tell you something. By the way, let me say this to you. I got a little bit of homework for the
Your points might be right, but your team is wrong.
Okay, that's fine, but I want you to do this. Please, please do this. James, promise me you'll do this. I want you to say that you will promise me you'll do this when you watch the Super Bowl. I need you to promise me you'll do it.
Do what?
Just say I promise.
No.
No, I'm not going to have you do anything weird. It's something I want you to watch out for. I want you to look for. Promise me you'll
okay.
look for. Okay. Mary, I want you to do the same. Promise me you'll look for.
Okay.
All right, JC, promise me you'll look for it.
I'll look for it.
Okay. This is the only thing I want you to do. And I'm not going to have you do anything weird. I would never make you promise anything weird. You have to promise.
I spy with my little hazel
there
eye.
You go. I spy with my little eye. Listen, pay attention during the singing of the national anthem. Okay? Nine times out of ten. When the camera pans on the teams holding their hands over their chest singing the national anthem, the first team member you see singing to the words of the national anthem, that team loses. Listen to what I'm saying. Whoever's singing, you know, the Star Spangled Banner, right? Who's singing? The camera always pans to the players. Whoever the camera catches singing that first, you see them mouthing the words. Whoever the team is, you see mouthing the words of the Star Spangled Banner with the singer, that team loses 9 times out of 10. I'm telling you.
You are deeply deluded, man.
Listen to me. If you don't believe me, go to YouTube and watch every person who sang the Star Spangled Banner. And look at the person the camera caught singing the words to the Star Spangled Banner, and check out the score of that Super Bowl. And I promise you, that team right. lost. I'm telling you, I'm putting my hands
now,
on it.
When
it always happens, 9 times out of 10.
Right. Now, when the Giants win, and they will. What I want. Is for you to get on the air every chance or every time one of us mentions to do so. I want you to stand up. I want you to say that the Giants are the most underrated team ever. I should have jumped on the bandwagon when I had the chance. I was wrong, and my intrepid crew knows more about football than I do.
I like that.
James, I still cannot get him to live. He still has not lived up to the first bet that him and I made.
I can't find
on air. I'm still waiting to see him on Facebook in an Eli Manning jersey.
JC will make sure that I get an Eli Manning jersey. I promise you that he will. Anyway,
JC will what?
JC will make sure that I'm inside a Eli Manning jersey, without a doubt. Hey, Jamie. Hey, James.
Yeah.
We were asking a question earlier whether or not you can guess. Three cities that might be on the top 10 most miserable cities list. Can you name three cities? They don't have to be major. Name three cities that might be on the list. By the way, just give you a breakdown. One, two, three of them are NFL cities.
All right, let's see. Seattle?
I would have guessed that, too.
Hmm?
I would have guessed Seattle, too. That's a great city to choose.
Mm-hmm. Washington, D.C. I don't know. And, I'm not
about the last one. Let's see, Atlanta.
Damn, you didn't get one.
Mm.
First of all, Seattle, Washington is not near a worse city to live in.
Well,
Seattle,
no,
Washington
they,
is one of
no,
the
see,
best.
I think
well, it's miserable,
yeah,
and
see,
I hear
exactly.
Seattle is rainy.
Exactly. See, I think James was taking the word miserable very literal. He was taking it from an aspect of a miserable city to live in is bad weather, maybe horrible traffic. No, actually, the way that they were breaking
it
down.
How come nobody says Buffalo, New York?
I would have guessed that.
They just
you, know,
horrible hotel.
You know what? Nobody remembers Buffalo, New York.
Well, you know what? It's
we
funny.
We were actually talking about Buffalo, New York earlier.
We were talking about Buffalo, New York. I want to tell you a story about Buffalo, New York, but let me break down the cities for you, James. Number 10 to through 1 is Warren, Michigan, Rockford, Illinois, Toledo, Ohio, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, Chicago, Illinois, Sacramento, California, West Palm Beach, Florida, Flint, Michigan, Detroit.
West Palm Beach. Oh.
Yeah, West Palm Beach. I mean, that's a retirement city. Flint, Michigan, Detroit, Michigan came in number 2, and the number 1 city is Miami, Florida.
Really?
Yes, I was the same with you, but it was the worst.
Well, it was number 1 because of the housing market.
The housing market was really, really the worst.
And
but
so, and that's why Detroit was on there too.
Mm-hmm. And one of the interesting part, Jamie, you said about Buffalo and why no one remembers Buffalo. Interesting story about Buffalo, New York. Back in 1997, when I lived there, trying to find work was very difficult because, you know me, I haven't worked a hard day in my life. You know, I'm a pencil pusher. I don't
do it there. So
yeah, I'm not a manual labor type. You know, there will be no calluses on these beautiful fingers. And what they told me was that in Buffalo, New York, that black men always do menial work. That means they work out, you know, doing construction, or they work in the garbage industry, you know, or they work in demolition. And black women are the only people they allow in the office building. And 90% of African-American women work in offices, and 90% of African-American men in Buffalo work out in the street. Which is an interesting, you know, I'm not saying that African Americans don't work, but, you know, they work in the city, but they don't allow African Americans in administrative positions in Buffalo.
Oh.
And oddly enough, their hip hop and R&B station, you can look it up, is WBLK.
Kendra G used to work there.
What's that?
Kendra G used to work there.
Yes, she did. They claim that it's just a coincidence that it's called WBLK because the company's acronym is very similar to BLK. But come on. I mean, if that doesn't sound We Black Radio, come on. I mean,
racism all the time.
Racism all the time.
On the radio.
On Reese on the radio. Absolutely.
Birmingham, okay. Alabama, WEUP, hey. We up.
We up.
Yeah.
Okay, now, I understand that, you know, we're coming towards the end of the show. It's Friday, it's the weekend, Super Bowl Sunday is, of course, coming up, which we're all very excited about. I think it's going to be a good game. I don't really have a horse in the game. I'm not really rooting for anybody because I don't care. I'm just going to watch the game to enjoy the game. Which is going to be, I'm pretty sure it's going to be fun because this is Super Bowl. It should not be boring. If it is boring, I'm going to rip it apart on Monday. That being said, it's Friday. Everybody knows what Friday means. It's Friday night dance party. Just had to get that in there to say about the football thing. And this week, Miss... is supposed to have a song for us this week for Friday Night Dance Party. I can't see the song on my screen because I have to refresh for some odd reason. So I don't know what the song is yet. So, JC, are you going to play the song for me?
Let me know when you're ready.
Okay, so anyway.
Okay, can I just say that that song is the perfect song for one of tonight's most loved
so
topics?
Good.
Okay, yeah. So there is a theme.
I didn't know. I know there. I just picked the song, and it just so happened that it was perfect for this theme.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
I like the way that works out. Okay. So Friday.
You break it up.
Okay.
You're EPing out.
I'm sorry. Friday night dance party is being brought to you by Mary Mary Whitey Buggy. This is her choice. For you guys tonight, I want each and every one of you to have a fantastic Super Bowl. Sunday is the unofficial unofficial holiday of the.
Before we do this.
No. Yeah, I'm just giving some last notes. What do you want to say, JC?
Are we gonna drop our bets on the game, or what are we doing?
Well, James has already told me what it is that he wants me to do. You guys want another bet?
Mary.
JC, you brought it up. Bring it.
Are you up for more fruit?
I want alcohol.
Can't send that through the mail.
Well, you know what? You guys worked that out. James, I meant to ask you. I called you yesterday, if not the day before, and you told me that you were out getting some food for the Super Bowl. What do you have? What's
correct.
On the menu?
Okay. Well, basically, we're having... a white chili, which is chicken and garbanzo beans, white chili. Hot wings with homemade hot sauce, and a big sandwich, and then you know the obligatory chips and dip.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Was that not interesting enough for you, Reese?
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm not exactly sure when James became a member of the homosexual community, but apparently his eating habits have white chili with a hero sandwich. He's got garbanzo beans in his chili. No. I'm sorry, folks. You know, we will, after the Super Bowl, we will try our best to move him back to Manville. Where the rest of testosterone plays. Where did you get that
recipe?
Where do you think he got it from? Cosmopolitan magazine.
Logo.
No, did you see that on Rachel Ray Healthy Cooking?
No.
Logo
no.
online.
From my wife, who's made it before. It is very good.
Sure it is.
Garbanzo beans are not good.
What do you have, Mary?
Well, the way she makes them.
No. Yeah, listen, listen to me, guys. That white chili is good because Jamie's wife told him it was good.
Okay, fine. Let me tell you.
Yes,
I'll tell you what I'm having. Okay.
Please,
I'm having two hard-boiled eggs. Salad and a grapefruit.
Yeah, that white chili is looking better and better, ain't it?
It sure is.
Excuse me. If I may ask, James, do you have room for one more? Do you have room?
Well, JC, you know you're always invited.
Thank you, sir.
I just can't get you to come down here.
JC, what are you having?
Lasagna.
Ooh, yes.
That's all you need?
That's really all you need. But we're having lasagna and chili dogs.
Oh, I'm having chili dogs when I go downstairs in a minute. Okay, so lasagna and chili dogs. Okay, that sounds right. Okay, I have developed something that everybody should have for Super Bowl. And what's great about it is that you don't have to cook anything. And you can keep it in the fridge for as long as you want, and you can have it right out of the fridge, and it's still, in fact, in the fridge, it tastes better than it would if it were hot. I'm having beer.
Beer.
I'm having
of course.
Beer.
I'm having beer. It's got wheat, barley, and it's good for
it's got the four major food groups.
Yes, exactly.
And I'm going to start building that lasagna tomorrow.
Oh, you're building. Oh,
yes.
That's brilliant.
How many layers?
My lasagna is probably about 6-7 layers.
Yeah, it's always 6
layers.
Yeah.
I hate you guys.
Jason's had my lasagna
before. I hate you guys because
yeah.
I can't drink a beer. I can't eat a hot dog. I can't do any of that. I hate you all. I'll be enjoying my damn grapefruit and boiled egg.
Listen to me. That's good for you, sweetheart. And I think you should have some watercress and see if you throw in a cucumber just for good measure. Okay? I think, in fact, on me, I think you should have a cucumber. Okay? You know what?
No.
Hold on. I think, forget about the cucumber.
You mean to eat, right?
No. Listen.
Yeah.
You know what? Jazz up the cucumber. Jazz it up. And I say, cheat a little bit. Have a pickle. That's just jazz it up. Okay? You
oh, my
be
God. Up
the blame plan, little sliced pickle. Have some sliced, and have some sliced field pickle. Jazz it up. Okay,
yeah.
let's get to this song. What is
Long Week?
Okay.
Don Cornelius.
So.
Oh, okay. Don Cornelius. Great. Okay, great reference.
And David Peaston.
Ooh. In reference to both of them passing away this week.
Well, no. This has everything to do with today's theme.
Okay, well,
I'm just saying them in passing. Because it's music.
Okay.
It has nothing to do with them, but it's just music.
Okay.
Mary's Pick.
Oh, Mary's Pick. Mary?
Come on. Come on.